I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. Portal season has officially begun. The 15-day window is open this morning through Friday, January 16th. As of right now, 10 scholarship Buckeyes have announced plans to transfer from Columbus. That includes running back James Peoples and quarterback Lincoln Keenholz. On the field, a Big Ten team will play for the national championship for the third year in a row. Indiana and Oregon advanced in CFP quarterfinal games on Thursday. The Hoosiers and Ducks will meet next Friday in the Peach Bowl. Ole Miss upset Georgia 39-34 last night in the Sugar Bowl. The Rebels will play Miami next Thursday in the Fiesta Bowl. And we're 35 days out from the Winter Olympics. This morning, USA Hockey announced their roster for the games in Italy. Jackets defenseman Zach Werenski was named to the squad. First Olympic Games for NHL players since 2014. This update is sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union. Need help recovering from the holidays? Get a holiday loan from BMI Federal Credit Union. Visit BMIFCU.org/holiday loan.
Your morning just got more interesting. Distilled and barrel-picked for your listening pleasure. Bo Bishop, a local sports media legend. What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football. A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach. He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy.
Good buddy, Austin Ward.
My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show.
The great Doug Lamery is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Dom Tabari here.
Oh, Reese came in and he handed me papers.
Yeah,
and then
it's a rundown.
And then he said, you see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me.
Oh,
I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says on.
We blew the budget on this imaging. And only two guys answered our ad on Craigslist. Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser. Act accordingly. You're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
I do hope after three quarterfinal games on New Year's Day, Buckeye fans are feeling just a little better after what happened in the Cotton Bowl calamity on New Year's Eve. Happy Friday, everybody. Eric Reeser, Ryan Baker, taking you into the first weekend of 2026. Bo is out. He's just off Friday. He'll be back Monday. He's got to get properly prepared for an FCS national championship. His Montana State Bobcats, I think, are playing.
Let's go.
Is it Illinois State?
I think it is.
In
Illinois
that FCS
State.
Title tilt Monday afternoon in Frisco, Texas. So we're going to trade one professional for another. The pride of Olentangy, Joshua Perry, will be joining us for the next 3 hours. Joshua, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
How are you?
I'm doing all right. You know, I think I'm like most people that are probably tuned in right now, licking my wounds a little bit, but certainly excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
How do you feel as a Buckeye, as a Buckeye player who played at the highest level, who won about as much as you can in the sport, as a Buckeye fan? Because that's, I think, what we all are first, especially being from this area. How do you feel now 2 days removed from the Cotton Bowl?
So it's hard to parse through, right? Like, I think there are a lot of narratives that have been created out of that game. And for me, it's, first off, 12-0 in the regular season is not a tiny feat. Like, we watch teams lose games that they should win all the time. And to make it to the Big Ten championship, all that kind of stuff, you beat your rival. That is all a big deal. But, you know, narrow margin loss in the Big Ten championship doesn't feel good. And then one and done in the college football playoff also feels pretty bad. So I'm trying to figure out where I settle in with just the season as a whole, but also looking at the game against Miami. Like, you know, there are a lot of people, you got beat up, they played bully ball, all these different things. And it's like, yeah, Miami ran the ball pretty well. Like, I don't think it was Mark Fletcher that was like the thing that really hurt Ohio State. Like, certainly their defensive line got after Ohio State and Julian saying, that's tough. And so I'm really trying to figure out how far away these guys actually were from achieving what we thought they could. And that's a national title. By the way, Miami might be playing for it. Indiana, the team that beat you in the conference championship, might be playing for it. So again, margins are narrow in this game. And that's a tough part to try to deal with.
Yeah, as you heard the update anchor say about a minute ago, it's the third year in a row for a Big Ten team. So for Greg Sankey and the SEC. Ole Miss, you're our only hope.
Yeah, imagine going 12-0 in the best conference in college football.
It doesn't mean Georgia's a fraud. Like, you can't have it this way where only the four teams remaining in the college football playoff are fraudulent.
We'll talk about this when we talk about the bowl records, because I have a take here.
We do have 3 hours to do that. We'll get Pat Murphy was in Dallas for the Cotton Bowl. We'll get his thoughts on what happened between the Buckeyes and the Hurricanes at 11:30, because I think we'll be looking back on this Cotton Bowl game for at least the next 6 months.
Yes.
Maybe even more than that. Because just when you lose a game like that at the end of the season, after the expectations that were had, the talent that was brought, the talent that showed, I mean, what was done in the regular season for Ohio State, that was one of the best defenses in the last quarter century.
No doubt.
And you can't take anything away that was done in those 12 games, but the expectation rate at Ohio State is more than that in the regular season.
Yes, it is.
So you run, I think, the gamut of emotions. You ride the roller coaster. It'll ebb and flow, at least until you get to that game week one of the 2026 season, and then you can kind of reset things on the field. At least that's how the fan base is going to feel about this. The coaching staff, on the other hand, can't really take a whole lot of time to dissect this.
No.
Because, as again you heard in that update, transfer portal's open. As of 9:05, there were more than 1,600 scholarship players in the portal.
It's a sick number. It feels like a lot of guys are going to be homeless once this portal gets situated.
I had the number yesterday, Joshua, that there were more than 100 quarterbacks in the transfer portal. Now, check my math here. There are 132 FBS programs.
Yikes. I mean, listen, there's a bunch of guys who are in there that aren't very good or haven't played very much either, and they're just trying to look for any opportunity. So I'm sure some guys who are, you know, career backup at wherever are fine to go down to the group of five or to FCS. But I think there are going to be some quarterbacks that had high expectations that ain't going to make it.
It's pretty crazy, because when you dropped that stat yesterday, Reese, it's like, where are all of them going to go? Because not all of them are going to go somewhere and play. That's just the way it is. We saw that with Devin Brown last year. And then Aaron Nolan, he had a plan to maybe go be Lenora Sellers' succession plan. Well, Lenora Sellers isn't leaving South Carolina now. He didn't have the year everybody thought. He's staying. So Aaron Nolan's in the portal again, and we talk about that, and oh my goodness, where are these guys going to go? But then you look at the CFP semifinals, all four quarterbacks are from the transfer portal.
Yep. It's a wild thing when you really consider. Now, I think for some of these guys, they've come to a conclusion of, I've been a backup at Ohio State, or I've been a backup at wherever, and it didn't work out, and transferred somewhere else and couldn't win the job. And so maybe they're just like, let me go somewhere where I know I can play. Right. If that means I got to go to Sam Houston, if it means I got to go to Kent State, like, let me just go there, because there's nothing worse than sitting in a locker room holding the clipboard, never playing throughout your college career. But once again, I think that a lot of the guys, for the first time maybe in the portal, they're saying, oh, you know, I never got the right opportunity. Coach didn't like me, whatever the case is, playing the blame game. And then they go somewhere else and figure out, maybe I'm just not that good at football.
I mean, it's so hard, because I think, especially this day and age, if you're a college football player playing at any one of these gigantic institutions like in Ohio State, at this time of the season, or probably during the whole year, you're hearing from everybody that's got your contact information.
Oh, yeah.
And more, because of how accessible we are all on social media. And so I do wonder, because last season when you had, you know, different portal windows, you had Sam Williams-Dixon, who is now back kind of in the transfer portal. He entered it last year, but then he came back to Ohio State. So I wonder, of the 10 scholarship players that we right now have announcing plans to go portaling, do any of those come back? I'm pretty sure Lincoln's gone.
Right.
Which is unfortunate, because I do love how Lincoln competed for the quarterback job in the fall.
No doubt.
I think the coaching staff kept it as close because they love the competitive nature in Lincoln. And I think every time you heard from Ryan Day, Lincoln had a different athletic accolade added. It was like black belt in jiu-jitsu and scratch golfer and, you know, mountain climbing world champion. And it's
right.
Like, this guy is the ultimate competitor. Because if you think back to last night's quarterfinal games, and we'll do a lot of quarterfinal dissection in this program, you look at Gunnar Stockton, you look at the Georgia Bulldogs, and you go, they probably didn't miss Carson Beck.
Right.
Because of Gunnar Stockton. But I don't necessarily think Gunnar Stockton's a better quarterback than Carson Beck, but Gunnar Stockton's damn sure a better football player,
better
and
competitor.
Leader
yeah.
than Carson Beck. And that can be such the difference in these kind of one and done playoff situations.
No doubt. I mean, it's very intriguing looking at the kind of guys that are in there. And you mentioned Lincoln, and the the quote that he gave down there at the Cotton Bowl, where it's like, I got to play. He's like, I want to be an NFL player.
Right? You got to play on Saturdays.
And maybe he goes somewhere and he balls out. And being a competitor certainly helps. I love the idea of Gunnar Stockton. I've talked about him on a bunch of different platforms. At the beginning of the year, I'm like, man, this guy is like, you know, he's not that good.
Yeah, just a guy.
But then I started like watching him make plays, and I'm like, this dude is JT Barrett.
This guy's a dude.
Like, that's who he reminds me of, where it's like, is he your prototypical NFL quarterback? No. And like, do I think he's going to have a long NFL career? Probably not. Do I want that guy on my sideline? Do I want him on the field in a 2-minute drill? Yeah, I'd like to have a guy like that. So for Lincoln, that's going to be a superpower. Hopefully he lands in a spot where he can have success right away. But really is crazy seeing all the movement that's going around.
Yeah, for Lincoln, you can't blame him, because he wasn't going to be the starter here next year. So you hang on and maybe you get a year after that, but there's no guarantee with Tavian St. Clair and Luke Fahey and Brady Edmonds coming in. We know that Ohio State recruits quarterbacks like they do wide receivers and cornerbacks and all of that. So you can't blame this guy for going and getting a chance. You can't blame any of these guys. Like James Peoples, he's a super talented running back, and he had some issues at the beginning of the year, I thought, going side to side. He kind of fixed those as the season went on, and he got better. But you've got Bo Jackson, who just rushed for 1,000 yards as a freshman. Like, you got to go get a chance to play. So you can, and you can go play anywhere nowadays, and they're going to find you. Especially look at Trinidad Chambliss.
No doubt. Night.
This dude just won a D2 national championship at Ferris State, comes to Ole Miss to be the backup, ends up being the starter, and he was doing some things last night that you're like, quarterback shouldn't be doing that. What's he running 20 yards the wrong way? He
ran into the end zone.
The dude's just making plays.
I think it goes back to that advice that Urban would always call them, the third uncles are giving guys, because you can't all be Fernando Mendoza. You can't all be Trinidad Chambliss.
Let's talk about the third uncle thing, because I feel like that's how you get to this amount of kids in the portal, and it's become worse, because before it was like, you know, literally your uncle telling you, coach doesn't know what he's talking about. Well, now that guy's your agent, or you have like an agent that's not your uncle, but he's some dude who just came out of the woodwork because he saw an opportunity with name, image, and likeness. And more, I feel like young people need to seek the proper advice, and some of them just don't have it. Like they've got parents that have ulterior motives, and they don't trust their high school coach or whatever the case is. And that's one of the big challenges here, is you got everybody telling you you're too good to be sitting around, and the reality is they don't watch practice and they don't see you making all the mistakes, and they don't know that your habits aren't where they need to be a great player.
We've crossed the 1700 player threshold in the transfer portal. Again, it's open through next Friday.
Is that all?
Well, right now there's 1,700, 31 have committed. So that's 1.82%.
Oh, there you go.
Per on three. The number will keep growing. I don't know about that commitment number. Again, just the first Friday will go to January 16th. This college football calendar is all over the place. The Tuscaloosa for weighed in on the discussion, but does he have an actual solution? You'll hear from him next. It's Bishop and Friends on The Fan.
We're the highest rated sports radio station in America. There's no joke there. We just are. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Hey, it's Austin.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
13-year NFL veteran and Super Bowl champion Jason McCourty here, and I'm an innovation ambassador at FAIR, Food Allergy and Research Education. I would say the most challenging thing as a parent of a kid who has a food allergy is probably the ignorance that I myself had in the beginning. I didn't know what anaphylactic shock was. I didn't know the dangers, let alone the things that she needed to be able to have a normal life. When you go to drop your kid off, on every single time in the beginning, we'd have to go through everything she was allergic to. Preparation is everything. And me, for playing football for 13 years, it was all throughout the course of the week. It's getting ready for game day. When you're on the field, you're playing for your fans. At home, you're playing for your family. My playbook: read labels, keep it allergy friendly, and have an epinephrine nasal spray as a backup plan. Because when my family's safe from food allergens, that's the real victory. Visit foodallergy.org to learn more.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
The Globe needs help. And when you help protect them, you become a friend of the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance.
Thank you for being a friend.
Travel down the road and back again.
Your heart is true, you're a pal and a confidant.
Thank you for helping protect wildlife around the globe. Without you, there's no them. Learn more at sdzwa.org/friend.
Back in the day, if you wanted to listen to the fan, you turned on the radio, and that was the end of the story.
But now, oh baby, stream us live on the Fan app.
TuneIn app, iHeart app, we're everywhere.
The Fan, Ohio's streaming destination.
After my accident, people warned me to slow down. I said, I don't know how. Thanks to my VA care team, I haven't.
At VA, we're using technology to help veterans recover faster and live their lives to the fullest. Learn more at vacareers.va.gov/PSA.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
And weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Mostly sunny skies are expected here for your Friday, with temperatures around 30 degrees here for this afternoon. Winds out of the northwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. And then for the weekend, we are looking at a mix of clouds and sunshine, with more clouds on Saturday. Highs around 30 degrees here for Saturday and Sunday. And that's a look at your 10 weather impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Aaron White here on 97.1 The Fan.
Are you working? Because we barely are. It's Football Friday.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Your home for football and quiet quitting. The Fan. We'll read your emails on the air, but we won't tell you where to send them. Hey, we're not doing all the work for you. This is Bishop and Friends.
Get in, losers. We're going portaling. Eric Reeser, Ryan Baker, Joshua Perry rolling along on this first Friday, the first actual Friday in the year 2026. It's going to take me a month to stop putting 2025 on things. I know there's a lot of people, right,
yeah,
that are in that same boat. We've got, in college athletics, I think, an issue of problems with no solutions and less accountability.
Sure.
And the transfer portal, as you've seen, now ballooning to over 1,700 players. Again, I still think there are 132 schools. So this is wild to have to do this 15-day portal window, 2 days after for Ohio State losing in the Cotton Bowl. Now, you've still got four teams that are going to be playing in semifinal games,
sure,
next Thursday and Friday, and the national championships not till January 19th.
Yeah, I think there's a Duke's Mayo Bowl still to be played.
The Mayo is getting dumped tonight.
Yeah.
How can this be? This is untenable. What you're asking these coaches, these players, these families, these institutions, really even the fans, to have to do from August, with now week zero in the middle of the month, through to the end of January. And I saw this from Jed Fish. He's now the coach at Washington. He was parroting a take from Nick Saban. Saban has been a part of college football forever, and he's now on College Game Day. And so they had theirs out from rainy Pasadena yesterday. And here's the Tuscaloosifer on the college football calendar.
We need to change the calendar.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So chaos in college football starts tomorrow. Okay. The portal opens. There's already been 120 starters say they're getting in the portal from, you know, big Power Four schools.
Wow.
So
wow.
What happens if Ole Miss wins and Oregon wins? So Oregon's got two coordinators trying to take guys from their team to their team, right, and guys from other teams to their team.
Yep.
And Ole Miss has got six coaches going to LSU trying to take guys to LSU from their team, but they got to play a game.
Right.
So bad. Now, is that chaos or is that chaos?
Yeah.
So
totally.
This whole college football calendar needs to change. That would be my New Year's resolution.
But I've heard. And Herb Street will follow with that, you know, that he's heard that, yes, this has to change. I think we as a college football media, as a college football fan base, and now you've heard, you know, one of the most influential voices in the sport say that this needs to change.
Mm-hmm.
And I was hearing all day yesterday while watching the college football quarterfinal games, how many Saban assistants, how many Saban lieutenants are going to be in the college football semifinal.
Sure.
All of the schools represented by a guy who was on Saban's staff. So I look to Nick and I go, can't you call up your buddies, get them together in a room? Because it has to be from the coaches, Joshua, to make the kind of change that Nick is talking about.
That's the problem, is everybody's going to whine and piss and moan about, oh, it's untenable and we don't like the schedule and we need to fix it. But the coaches are the ones that got it to this place. They're the ones that got the portal to just be this one portal that's opening today. They're the ones who will not move off of the early signing period because they want to get all their guys on campus as early as possible. So as much as we complain about the college football calendar, the coaches have asked for this calendar. Now, the hiring cycle, I think, is a real issue, but what do you want to do about that? The only way to me that you can really fix that is if you move the national championship up. And then you make a rule like the NFL that says you can't do your hiring until after the national championship. That to me would be the one big thing that would have to like catastrophically change the calendar. But all these other issues that we're going through and everything that people see as a problem, the coaches ask for it. So they ask for something and then they get mad when they get what they want. Like, that's the biggest problem for me.
And I think it is funny because I was thinking the same thing when I was hearing Saban talk about that. And well, And Saban's no longer in the SEC, obviously, but the SEC pushed for this. They wanted the one portal in January. For whatever reason, the SEC conference commissioners and Greg Sankey wanted this. Now, you can say it's for academic reasons. You can say, well, there's other sports to consider, too. Well, we always just look at it from a football side of things because football is what makes all the money. And if that's the case, let's change the rules for football then.
Sure.
Because we're doing everything based on football anyway, so let's separate football from everything else.
Reese Davis had a great follow-up question to Nick Saban yesterday.
How do you go about getting the movement started to get some of these things implemented?
You know, the NCAA doesn't seem to be in control of the way things are happening right now. And I think if we're going to change things in college football, we've got to get Congress to have...
All right, you lost me there.
Here's the thing.
The federal government?
The Congress has shown no interest in wanting to dive into the rules surrounding college football. Now, I think they're on the right track with saying that they need Congress, because every time they make a rule change, and in particular when it comes to anything to do with players, they just take it to court. The courts rule that whatever the conferences or whatever the NCAA is trying to do is unconstitutional. And so you would need to make laws to prevent this from happening. I totally get that. These dudes got so much other stuff to worry about. And by the way, I don't think anybody's really getting reelected from saving college sports, right? Like, that's not something they can campaign on. They have no interest in dealing with this whatsoever.
Joshua, this is one of my favorite things always when we want to get government involved in sports. Like, government has no interest in this because they have other things to do.
Yeah.
And they've got like daycares and potholes to worry about right now. Like, they don't need to be worrying about college football. And that's the one thing I've always said. Like, the government can't even stay ahead of potholes on the road. Like, what makes you think they're going to stay ahead of all of this in college football with everything they have to do?
They couldn't even pay for Adobe to redact the files. They got kids on the internet taking the blocks off of the files that came out. Like, is this who we're going to trust to fix our sport?
I mean, it's just the gross incompetence across the board. And people only want to be pointing the finger, not taking any responsibility for this. And it goes back to our conversation about the third uncle, that really the biggest loser in all this is the player.
Yes, but I will say, players really aren't losing in this day and age because everybody's litigious. We got dudes out here getting six and seventh years because the courts are saying, well, you know, it's really illegal for you guys to try to tell them how long that they could play and what their span is on making name, image, and likeness money, right? So, like, I think people actually enjoy the chaos.
We love chaos, especially doing the job that we do.
No, but I think coaches actually, as much as they complain, they like the chaos. They complain when it goes against them, but everybody's tampering. Everybody's trying to manipulate the portal. Like, they like what's going on until it affects them negatively. The players like this chaos because they're just like, we're going to go to court and we're going to get whatever they want. Right. So, like, yes, we need solutions, but at the same time, I think that people are kind of like, eh, well, as long as we can manipulate it, we'll figure out how to do it.
We got Chaz Coleman asking for $4 million in the transfer portal. I think the players are okay
with
it.
They're perfectly fine. They like this.
I think someone's going to give Chaz Coleman the $4 million.
I'm telling you right now, I'm 10 years too old.
I think of you and Tyvus a lot when I see these. Like when I there was an announcement that was made before last football season by Carson Beck's representation that he was the highest paid college athlete of all time. And I don't know how the hell you prove that.
I don't know either.
But Cardell Jones brought it to the forefront, and then he got kind of cold taked on it after the Cotton Bowl. And that's fine to throw that back at him. But the idea that someone comes out and says Carson
Beck. By the way, getting cold take, the dude threw for 130, 140 yards, right? Like,
he
wasn't the reason.
A Heisman finalist.
Yeah, he wasn't the reason, but anyway.
Threw four picks against Louisville in the season.
That's a digression.
I just think, and it's a good one, and we'll have Carson Beck conversation, because Miami's going to do something I think that's really ambitious if they want to repeat this year's success next year. Because you're just going back to the portal for a quarterback year in and year out, and that can work right now. But are other teams, if they try to do that again?
It's Cignetti, right? Like, he's going to end up being the same way.
He's the one, too.
I think Miami's in a spot where they prefer getting the quarterback out of the portal, because if they get the wrong guy and he sucks, they only have to pay him for a year.
It's true. And you can flip a team quicker than anything. If you have a quarterback, because you can raise a lot of ships.
Yes.
If that guy can be as good as Curtis Rourke was last year for Indiana.
Right.
As Fernando Mendoza was this year for the Hoosiers. Like, they're not there if he doesn't hit on the portal quarterback in year one, and if they don't back up that portal back success in year two. It was an onions day for Kurt Cignetti, for Dan Lanning, as two coaches from the Big Ten, two former Saban lieutenants, are going to be playing again, this time for a chance to go to the college football national championship. We'll dissect everything that went down on New Year's Day coming up in 2 minutes. It's Bishop and Friends on the...
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Count of how many foster homes I lived in. 20, maybe more. Each time, a new family, a new room, but never a space that felt like mine.
There are more than 100,000 children in foster care waiting to be adopted. The Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption is working to help find them a permanent home.
Now I have my own room and decorated it myself. And just like my family, it's mine to keep.
If you have room in your home or your heart, see how you can help at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
What's up?
Sup, man?
Sup, Jew?
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. For all your roofing, gutter, or siding needs, call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
I don't think anybody's had a better 2026 than Kurt Cignetti. Maybe Lane Kiffin.
Nah, no.
Well,
no.
With the running Rebels, or just the Rebels of Ole Miss last night, beating Georgia 39-34 in the Sugar Bowl quarterfinal, he gets the bonus.
Yeah, he does.
But LSU's paying him that bonus.
Right.
So he's getting his money.
Which, by the way, going back to the government thing, remember Jeff Landry, when they fired Brian Kelly, they're like, we got to figure out a way to redo all of these deals, and we're not gonna get abused again by another coach, yada yada yada. And then you hire Lane, and you're like, and you know what? We're gonna pay you for games you don't even coach in, right? These are the people that are supposed to fix college football.
These guys have all of the answers.
Got it.
And all of his coaches still coaching at Ole Miss.
Right.
Who knows how much longer that's going to go. Maybe they'll even want to end up staying. Maybe they'll be like, hey, we can win here without going to LSU.
I had the thought last night as that game was coming to a close. And I'm like, all these players that they swear they're going to get out of the portal that have to continue to play now. These coaches that he loaned out to them, expecting them to come back. Very curious to see what happens with all that.
Because
if it was me, I'd be like, it's kind of good over here.
Because now Pete Golding and his staff, Charlie Weiss Jr., Joe Judge made an appearance.
I forgot
he existed.
Joe Judge, what a guy.
But obviously having some issues before the half, not being able to get that field goal unit.
That was a brain dead play. you catch the ball on the sideline and you say, you know what? With no timeouts and 8 seconds on the clock, I'm making a beeline for the middle of the field. Bad ball.
But it was an incredible performance from Trinidad Chambliss, an even better performance from Ole Miss's kicker, who's automatic from 55. And I watch him make those kicks, and he's a Western Kentucky transfer. And I go, it's been 4 seasons for Ohio State. We can't make 50-yarders. Why not?
I would tamper. Make him the first million-dollar kicker. I don't care. Go get him.
Doesn't it feel, after at least what Ohio State's been through, that's worth it?
I would do it. I mean, it's not my money.
The best kicker in the Big Ten's in the portal.
Illinois guy.
I mean, something's got to get
I was thinking about that with Michigan Zavada, I think, because he was the Big Ten kicker of the year in 24.
And then he got in his
head. You know, it was good that they didn't make that, they didn't tamper or make that portal investment. We had to wait all day, I think, to a really competitive game, and it was in that Sugar Bowl quarterfinal. But I enjoyed the hell out of watching Indiana football.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say too much because it was Alabama, and it is always fun watching, you know, one of the blue blood programs in the country get rolled like that by Indiana. Like, you kind of, I don't think you have to do this anymore, but earlier in the season when Indiana goes to Eugene and they beat Oregon, a really good Oregon team, as you saw yesterday, it should have, I think, to everybody that wants to quote no ball, put them on notice and saying, no, Indiana's legit. And yes, people were still kind of waiting on it. And then Joshua, when they went into Happy Valley, this Hoosier squad, for the first time all time, and beat Penn State for the first time all time in Happy Valley, you should have then, people were still hesitant because it's Indiana.
Right.
And then in the Big Ten championship game, that lead up there, no, Ohio State's got this. Not so fast. Indiana's probably going to win the national championship. I'm comfortable saying that now, 2 weeks out.
It's a wild thing to say.
They open as 4.5-point favorites over Oregon. We've already seen that game.
Sure. Now, we have seen some other rematches. It's like the
Ole
one
Miss,
that we
Georgia
got for the nightcap. Yep. So you never know what happens. But the reality for Indiana is, number one, Fernando Mendoza is phenomenal. And I have a little bit of an issue with him as an NFL prospect. And I'm not going to get into all of those things. I think he likes to look at the pass rush a little bit too much. And if you can change up the pictures in the back end, but nobody's really been able to rattle him all too much. And at the end of the games, he's been clutch. So you got that. You got a run game that's aggressive, offensive line that protects really well. They run block really well, but it's a defense for me. And this kind of started the trend with Julian saying, I think that continued in the Cotton Bowl, but they do a really good job up front of creating ways to make sure players are unblocked through movement. And in the back end, they give you all kinds of different looks, so it's hard to diagnose. And so I look at that team, and everybody talks about blue chip ratio and personnel. I look at that team and I'm like, okay, but what are your answers? Like, what are the actual answers that you have? Like, what are you going to do when you come up against that defense and those guys are moving and twisting around up front and you've got safeties dropping, you got safeties rushing, you got linemen dropping out, you got linebackers plugging holes. What are you going to do? And nobody's really had a good answer for it this year.
38-3 was the final. It was the largest Alabama loss since Arkansas beat the Tide 42-6 back in 1998. This for an Alabama program, their worst postseason loss in history.
I think, looking at Alabama, I didn't think that they should have been in the playoffs. And
probably
I know
not.
People had the discussion. It was a Miami Notre Dame thing. And that last weekend, I kept saying that the discussion really should have been Miami versus Alabama, because Alabama got blown out twice this year and they lost their conference championship game blowout fashion, didn't drop at all. Like, that to me was egregious. And so you put them up against a real team and you see what the issues are. Can't run the football. I know Ty Simpson got hurt, but he's a little bit of a hero ball guy. And Alabama's defense to me looked like what they looked like in the beginning of the year when they played Florida State. A little bit soft, can push them around a little bit. Got exposed in the back end, and it's wild seeing Alabama look that bad, but when Indiana's doing it, like, those people down south right now are probably going crazy.
I keep going back to, it's not necessarily for yesterday for me wasn't about Alabama. It was about what Indiana did and Indiana's doing, and also the Ryan Williams conundrum. I don't know if there's a better word for it, because he bursts out onto the scene as a 17-year-old. I think he turns 18 in February.
Yeah,
I mean, for this guy to just kind of disappear and them to seemingly forget about him, and yet he's still going to, at least he's announced his intentions to remain at Alabama, but that's probably one of the, if not the most coveted players, if you can get him out of the transfer portal. Alabama's in an interesting spot, but yeah, I think for Indiana, again, Kirk Cignetti, Pat Coogan being the first lineman to win the Rose Bowl MVP.
I mean, hilarious.
They were great. That Alabama, that Indiana office, see, it's still hard for me to say.
Yeah.
Because I'm just not used to saying Indiana's one game away from the national championship.
So let's talk about this real quick. Kurt Cignetti is the best coach in college football right now. I think there's a conspiracy that Nick Saban tried to hide him from the world. Nick Saban retired when Kurt Cignetti went to Indiana, right? Like he knew the powers that Kurt Cignetti had and forced this guy to go Division II and climb his way up the ranks. The thing that's so interesting to me is I don't think a blue blood would have ever hired him. Like we know the path went from Alabama, goes D2, then goes to Elon, and then goes to JMU.
Yeah.
And I just don't think that a blue blood in Ohio State and Michigan, right, a Alabama, Notre Dame, I don't think they ever would have hired that guy. Like Indiana was the only spot that was like, yeah, dude, we're ready for you. And think about that. The best coach in the game right now and his best opportunity to be a power four ball coach was at Indiana.
The losingest program in Division I.
Well, not anymore.
Nope. And again, one game away. They open as favorites against the Oregon Ducks. We've seen that game before. It happened in Eugene earlier on in the season. Tough to beat a team twice. I think Oregon benefited from not... The weirdest question from yesterday, Joshua, was, do you want a bye?
Yeah.
And I think Indiana put that, I think they put it to bed because Oregon also got kind of a bye.
Right.
They had a similar layoff because they didn't play in the Big Ten championship game. Now, it's the question of, would you want to go back and tell Dan Lanning, hey, you got to lose to Indiana. Then you're going to get healthier because they were without.
Oh, they were super banged up.
Without two of their top wide receivers for the biggest chunk of the season.
Yep.
And I had wondered, are they playing the long game with that in trying to be as healthy as possible for yesterday's moment when they went out and blanked Texas Tech?
I mean, I'll say this. The bye thing is very intriguing to me because, to your point, Indiana goes out there, obviously well-coached team, very mature team. So the time off doesn't – if you have the right kind of team, the time off isn't an excuse. You felt like Georgia would have had that kind of team, though. You felt like Ohio State would have had that kind of team. And the thing about those games in particular – Ohio State was favored. Georgia was favored. And a lot of these games where we're looking at the teams that had a bye, Texas Tech was the dog. You go back to last year, Boise had the bye. They played Penn State. They were an underdog in that game, right? Like the teams that had typically won this round were the teams that were favored, regardless of if they had a bye or not. And so I think it's an interesting thing here. Like maybe it does have some sort of effect, but generally, the team that is better or is playing better ball at the time is the one that's going to win the ball game.
I will say this, and if you want to talk about the byes from yesterday and what happened for Wednesday night, that's okay. I think last year you have to throw it out the window.
Yeah, the seeding was bad.
Yeah, the seeding was bad, and I think those teams that won were the better teams. And Ohio State and Oregon was such an anomaly because I don't think there was any doubt Ohio State was one of the two best teams in college football last year. They just underachieved against Michigan and ended up where they were and ended up even worse because, as you said, Joshua, the seeding was bad. I don't think anybody really thought Texas Tech was a better team than Oregon, and Oregon was favored, as you mentioned. I think Ohio State may just not have had the best game plan, quite frankly, against Miami. Indiana hammered Alabama, and it's hard to beat a team twice in one year. And that's what you had in Georgia and Ole Miss. And that first game was close. Ole Miss was up by 10 in the fourth quarter, and Georgia came back and won. It was close right down to the wire yesterday. So I think we need some more data on the byes to say if the byes are really worth it or not.
Well, to that point about the Georgia-Ole Miss game yesterday, too, like, Georgia came out humming. They were up early in that game, right? And usually when you talk about the bye, it's like, oh, teams come out sluggish and they're making mistakes. Like, no. Or the other team that played the week before is the one that runs out of gas because they're more tired. Like, no, that wasn't the case. It was the exact opposite of that.
And Baker, I laugh because you said we need more data on it. Unfortunately, we're not going to get more data points on a 12-team playoff.
And I'm okay with that.
First round, because we expanded in January, but later this month, baby.
I'm a contractionist.
Less is more.
Let's go to eight teams.
And that's what I'm okay that we're getting rid of the buys, but I'm with you. I think these playoffs have told us the last 2 years both that we really didn't need it. There's only a handful of teams that really deserve a shot and are good enough.
No doubt. And I'll also say this too, because people have made the conversation about Cinderella's and you know, the comparison. So last year, Cinderella was Ohio State and Notre Dame, right? Like two teams that had some losses. Notre Dame had the worst loss of anybody basically in college football. Ohio State had a couple losses. Then you look this year, it's Miami, who's one of the most talented teams in college football, the historic brand that we all know. It is Ole Miss, again, high talent profile, team out of the SEC. It's Oregon, highly capitalized roster, a bunch of 4- and 5-star players. The one who's not the Cinderella is actually Indiana, who in the grand scheme of college football is the biggest Cinderella ever, but they're the one seed. They're number one team in the country, right? So like it's this very interesting thing of like, basically the teams that are there, it's not group of five, whatever, the team that got in by the skin of their teeth, because it is literally like, do you have money? Do you have talent? Those are the teams that have shown that they can make the run.
And all of that gives you a college football semifinal with a 1-5 next Friday in the Peach Bowl, Indiana, Oregon, a 10-6, Miami, Ole Miss. Hurricanes open as 3-point favorites in that Fiesta Bowl. That'll be next Thursday at 7:30. What does Ohio State need to get back to the college football playoff in 2026? Now that the transfer portal is open, we'll discuss next. It's Bishop and Friends on The Fan.
Tweet from a listener. Are you carrying the Buckeye game today? Considering we've never not carried one. Yes. The answer is yes. The Fan.
Enjoy. Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
My mom is a veteran and she was injured in the line of duty.
I hurt my leg in a training accident when she was only 2 years old.
She had 7 different surgeries over the span of 9 years, and there were tons of complications.
I couldn't be the mom kids needed me to be.
She missed so much.
After my last surgery, I got an infection so bad I thought it was going to kill me.
I told her she couldn't leave me yet. There was still so much she had to see. I hadn't even graduated.
I'm doing much better now. I may have lost my leg, but I've gained so much. I'm an active part of my kids' lives.
She can kick a mean soccer ball.
DAV's been there for me and my family. Through thick and thin, they've had our back.
Every year, DAV helps more than 1 million veterans like Sandy get the health and disability benefits they've earned so they can achieve victories great and small.
My victory is getting my life back. I got my joy back.
We got our mom back, thanks to DAV.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Hey there, Jane Lynch here. You want to hear something funny? Too bad. You want to hear something uplifting that will inspire you? Good. Because today, I want to talk to you about Direct Relief, a humanitarian organization that does seriously good work when it counts. Fires, hurricanes, earthquakes. When disaster strikes, Direct Relief immediately shows up with medicines, medical supplies, and everything doctors and nurses need to save lives. Let's ship her out! Every day across the United States and around the world, they're making an enormous difference. If someone needs help, Direct Relief helps. No politics, no red tape. Hey, what you doing over there?
Oh, I'm packing insulin for kids with diabetes.
See, every box here is literally a lifeline for someone in critical need. So check them out at directrelief.org. You might just bring a smile to someone's face.
Get enough of your favorite fan content? Good news, we're on all the digitals. Follow 971 The Fan on X, Facebook, YouTube, The Talk, and Gram. Your digital home for endless shenanigans. The Fan.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Your child's oral health milestones matter. By age 1, see a pediatric dentist to establish good oral health habits. At 7, see an orthodontist to check your child's bite, teeth, and jaws. Around 15, visit an oral and maxillofacial surgeon to have your child's wisdom teeth examined. Remember, milestones met, healthy teeth set. Visit milestonesmet.org.
For the past 100 years, Shriners Children's has become family to over 1.5 million kids.
In tough times and good times, they're
are there when we need them most.
Please go online right now to loveshriners.org.
All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Connect with the show on X at 971BFS. Jump in our YouTube chat or just send a raven.
You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
So you don't get time anymore to celebrate or kind of wallow in defeat. You know, last year I kept thinking of the image of the hefty man in a red coat handing Ryan Day the Rose Bowl trophy.
Yeah.
And hefty looking man. At Ryan thinking and seeing on his face, great, this is a fun thing to have. I've got a college football playoff semifinal to think about.
Have you ever heard Urban telling the story about winning the title and immediately he's on the phone in the locker room calling recruits? And it was a different world back then.
Sure.
But these guys have always kind of made the choice to never live in the moment and like maximize all the time possible. So like, yeah, I mean, it's worse now because you have to.
Yeah.
But they have chosen for a very long time to be this way.
Yes. And I do think if you want to get this fixed, the fix has to come from the coaches who need to band together and figure out the best way for everybody. And I know as we go and as you're going to see in the next couple of weeks, coaches just looking out for them and themselves. Mm-hmm. Hard to blame them. You're not going to get anything constructive like that done.
No, I mean, I'll put it like this. Like, do you think Lane Kiffin wants to fix the calendar?
How about him last night?
Right.
How about him over the last couple of days?
I mean, he was yesterday walking hand in hand with Kim Mulkey into the arena, and then it's Portal Eve.
Is there a more fun beat to be on right now than the LSU with Lane Kiffin and Kim Mulkey? That's like the new dynamic duo.
The image of them holding hands, I might get that framed. I need a print of that image.
And the best part, for me at least, was Kentucky won on a last second shot. I think it was like the first win for Kentucky women's basketball at LSU all time.
Amazing. That's so actually amazing.
It couldn't have been put better together.
Yes.
And then Pete Golding and some of Lane Kiffin's LSU staff.
Sure.
Beat Georgia.
If I'm Lane, I'm calling those dudes and I'm like, remember when I said if you weren't on this jet, you couldn't come? Well, I'm sending a jet and I mean
it
this time.
You better be on that, Charlie Weiss Jr.
Get to Baton Rouge now.
I mean, we're done with this.
For those of you who missed kind of our earlier conversation, Lane Kiffin has earned bonuses from Ole Miss from his contract with the Rebels because of college football playoff wins. Same with Charlie Weiss. LSU's paying those bonuses per their agreement.
That is, it's the most insane thing to me. But I mean, more power to you, right?
It's you have.
If I could do a deal like that,
yes,
I would do it.
Because I would like to be that hefty man in the red coat, handing Rose Bowl trophies out,
best
going around, shaking hands, kissing babies. Because you saw the guy yesterday with Magic Johnson.
Sure.
Like, who's this person? But he's on the field at the Rose Bowl, the best scene in college football.
Hanging out with Magic Johnson.
Just handing a coin.
Like, hey. How's it going? Pretty damn good.
This is why we got to go to 24 teams, guys. 28, maybe. We got to have more money to pay
all this. There's a conspiracy because I think a lot of these bowl executives are feeling like their world is getting squeezed because everybody's like, oh, these bowls don't matter. It's just exhibitions. Playoff focus. And I think they are lobbying to have more of these playoff games, and they want them to be bowls. They don't want on-campus games because they want to get the courtesy car and they want the golf course membership and they want to wine and dine. It's a job that I want when I retire. It's the greatest job in the world. Like, what are they doing?
What do you think's the because I heard Dan Lanning after the Ducks shut out Texas Tech say a similar thing that they need to be taken off of at least the first round, the second round. Maybe until you get to the semifinals and the title tilt, those need to be on campus sites for the atmosphere of it.
They will never do it. I agree with Dan Lanning on that. And by the way, looking at some of the attendance, I mean, you saw Orange Bowl looked like.
Yeah.
You saw last night. I mean, the Rose Bowl is always people are going to go. But you can't convince me that those environments are what they need to be for games that matter. But these bowl committees will do everything to protect their space in this sport. So it's just not going to happen.
And they're going to, but it's not, it's a different time now. It used to be the Rose Bowl was the only trip Ohio State or whoever won the Big Ten made. And that was it. We talked about this last year with Ohio State. You have the game at Tennessee. But then you're all over the place.
Yep.
You're at the Rose Bowl. You're at the Cotton Bowl. That's somewhere we got to think about fans. One of the things that's so great about college football is the passions of the fan base and the regionality of it. And the South is better than the North. No, actually, we've won the last two. And you're not going to, you can't have those fans. You've got to have the fans involved. And when you're asking them to go four different places on a journey to the national championship, it's just not feasible.
I mean, I'll use the Orange Bowl as a great example. First off, if you're an Oregon fan, like, it's a long way to travel. Okay. But you're probably also thinking, I feel pretty good about this matchup. Like, this is not the one I'm going to go to. Similarly, for many Ohio State fans, my parents were like, well, we're not going to Dallas. It's not the trip you want to make. But if we were going to take one, I'd rather go somewhere that I would enjoy a little bit more, like Phoenix. And money's finite, right? Like, people can't make all these trips. And so you're seeing folks choose to not go to some of the earlier round games so they can follow their team if they make it to the later ones. They're bad environments. It's not thinking about the fans, but like, it's also not what college football is not played in Hard Rock, right? Like, that's, it's played at the Horseshoe, right? Like, it's played, yeah. it's played on campus, and we have to think about that a little bit more.
That's one of the things that I thought was so gross about that private equity deal.
Oh, yeah.
Was because this soulless entity thought it could come in and buy college football.
By the way, college private equity fans, ruins everything.
Yeah, it's a payday loan with a tie.
Yeah, they almost killed Red Lobster. Red Lobster had to bring the young dude
kicking?
In there. Oh, they brought the, okay. they're doing the crab boils or whatever. They had to bring in a young dude to fix Red Lobster because PE almost killed it.
I mean, you got Cheddar Bay Biscuits. How can you ruin that?
They almost killed Cheddar Bay Biscuits.
How can you ruin that?
It's the ridiculousness of there's so many different things, reasons why we love college football more than anything. I think, Joshua, I'll speak for you. Baker might have, you know, stick and puck infatuation more so than college football. But the scenes that you saw yesterday with Indiana fans in the Rose Bowl, it was the perfect encapsulation of a week that had Pop-Tarts being eaten by BYU's head coach, that had Miami kind of coming back to the forefront of the sport after the first time in 20 years, to Cheez-Its, a Cheez-It guy coming out on a dragon.
Sure.
To tonight, a coach is going to get mayonnaise dumped on him.
Yeah.
Like, all of it's the insanity that I think we love. You talked about loving the chaos.
Yeah.
This week's been that.
Well, no, for sure. And like, I think to the point about what you're saying with Cheez-Its and Duke's Mayo
Pop-Tarts.
And Pop-Tarts, Bad Boy Mowers, what they're doing, Idaho Potatoes. I like to eat french fries on the field too. Right. Like, all that stuff to me is what you need to do for the bowl games that are not playoff games.
Agreed.
Right. Like, let's lean into the weirdness of this sport. It happens in like interesting pockets of the internet when it's not on campus. Like, that's something we can embrace. But for the more serious part of it, the part where it's trying to crown a champion, I think we need to lean into fans and what they would prefer. And we need to lean into campuses where these games happen every week.
What's next for the Buckeyes, and what are their portal needs as it opens? It's open today. It'll be open through Friday, January 16th. We'll discuss all of that next. Bishop and Friends on the Fan.
The radio couldn't contain us, so we've taken over YouTube. Catch Morning Juice weekday mornings at 6 by searching 971 The Fan. Do it.
Hey, Jack, it's me.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Child is sick. With those four words, the innocence and joy of childhood disappears. But Starlight has taught us four other words that make all the difference. The power of play. Happy kids heal faster. That's why Starlight Children's Foundation delivers happiness through gaming, toy deliveries, and more to hospitals across the country. Learn more at starlight.org.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Are the keepers of the wild, America's original and most invested conservationists. For more than 80 years, we've been committed to conserving wildlife and the natural landscapes that define our nation. From rugged alpine ridgelines to peaceful tall grass prairies, we've supported the conservation of more than 36 million acres of American wildlands. Our funding has led to cleaner water, fresher air, and improved wildlife habitat. From abundant fish and waterfowl populations to robust deer and elk herds, nothing is more important than maintaining wild spaces for adventurers to explore and wildlife to thrive. We are America's hunters and target shooters, stewards of the American outdoors.
America's hunters and target shooters, along with firearm, ammunition, and archery manufacturers, have invested more than $46 billion to help state fish and wildlife agencies manage and protect wildlife and wild lands across America. For more information, visit OutdoorStewards.org.
Hey, Max, you look absolutely dashing in that purple tie. Ready to harness the world?
You bet, Daisy. I'm ready as I'll ever be. And might I say, your purple tie really pops with your vest.
Thanks. I almost went with a cape, but didn't want to come across as pretentious.
Nonsense. Anyone in our line of work should rock a cape.
You might be onto something, Max.
Phew. So, here we go. First day on the job. You've got this, right?
Right. Don't forget, we both graduated from Dogs, Inc. with honors.
Which means I can guide my human around a busy city with ease.
And I can give my human a restful night.
I hope my human is kind and loving.
And I hope mine likes wet kisses and zoomies.
Ready to make a difference?
Born ready. Let's go.
Discover how extraordinary dogs like Daisy and Max change lives at no cost to the recipients. Visit dogsinc.org.
Once there was a man who couldn't stand.
A mom who couldn't wait.
A scientific community that said it couldn't be done.
And then you.
And then I.
And then we. Brought neuromuscular disease into screaming color with the Muscular Dystrophy Association.
For 75 years, our voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
We've willed the impossible into existence.
We've pushed the science.
Raised the funds.
Shifted the narrative.
And transformed the reality of life with neuromuscular diseases.
For 75 years, we've built communities together.
Established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And made it thrive.
Call that a legacy.
Call it impact.
Call it momentum.
Just call it ours.
Because it's the generations of community heroes that give MDA the strength we have today.
And until neuromuscular disease is a thing of the past, you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
For the past 100 years, Shriners Children's has become family to over 1.5 million kids.
In tough times and good times, they're there when we need them most.
Please go online right now to loveshriners.org.
Planning to buy a home?
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reese, sir. Four teams remain in the college football playoff. Two are from the Big Ten. Oregon and Indiana will meet next Friday in the Peach Bowl semifinal. Ole Miss upset Georgia last night in the Sugar Bowl quarterfinal. Rebels are going to meet the Miami Hurricanes next Thursday in the Fiesta Bowl. The college football transfer portal is open now through Friday, January 16th. As of right now, 10 Buckeyes have announced plans to transfer from Columbus. That includes running back James Peoples and quarterback Lincoln Keenholz. In hockey news, Jackets defenseman Zach Werenski was named to Team USA. We're 35 days out from the Winter Olympics in Italy. Elvis Merzlikins will represent Team Latvia. In college hoops, Ohio State heads to Rutgers tonight at 8. Jake Niebler's squad 9-3 overall, 1-1 in conference play. Tonight's game in Piscataway is a Peacock-only production. We love Peacock on this program. Buckeyes are back at the Shot Monday, hosting number 13, Nebraska. You can hear Ohio State hoops every game right here on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Our top men are working on everything except this show.
We have top men working on it right now.
Who? Top men.
You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
I think for the first time in a long time, we can safely say that's a lie by the big voice guy. We have one of the top men in college football in studio with us this morning, Joshua Perry.
Well, thank you for the Peacock shout out there.
Love Peacock. We love Peacock fans on this program.
Yes.
Ryan Baker, Eric Reeser rolling with you as well. At 11:30, we'll get Pat Murphy from Bucknuts and 24/7 Sports on the program. His ID is at my desk. So, Pat, if you're listening to this early and you can't get into the building, sorry, bud.
I sent him a picture.
Okay, good.
Of that,
so he knows.
He told me he's just going to have to break in.
But I mean, we have a big garage door. I'm not, you know, advocating for it, but could be
sounds
fun.
Sounds like you're advocating.
Could be fun because we'd have it on video camera, and we're all about content, not only audio but digital. We're on YouTube. Thank you to everybody who's popped into the YouTube chat over the last couple of days. I've now been able to kind of gauge Ohio State fan base in a new way with how the chat is on YouTube after a game. Like, Baker, when you and I did the 2024 Michigan game post-mortem, that was the most vitriolic I have ever encountered this fan base. After the Cotton Bowl post-mortem, some anger, some sadness, a lot of disappointment, which is where I sit on that
sure.
as a Buckeye fan. I'm just disappointed in the way Ohio State as an entire operation carried itself in Dallas.
Yeah, I mean, listen, people were firing the coach in 24, right? And it's we're not there with this. I think disappointment is perfectly okay. Like, I did this in 2013. We had a perfect season, and then we played Michigan State in Big Ten championship game and lost. And had we won that game, we would have gone to a national title. And then we played Clemson in the bowl game and lost.
Yep.
And so I know what that feels like, where your hopes are super high and you feel like everything's right there in front of you, and it disappears. And so as fans, like, I get it, but there's also this idea of, like, beat our rival, we feel fine about that. Like, it wasn't everything that you expected it to be, but you're not in the dark days.
No.
So you can compartmentalize a little bit. I'll tell you the one thing for that coaching staff and the players that are going to be returning to the team. This is going to be a rough offseason, because when you're that close and the margins are as thin as they were, you have the opportunity to be brutally honest, and you have the opportunity for cleansing, because you can pinpoint just about everything that went wrong. It's not like a lot of things went wrong. That's when it's really, really rough. So these guys, as bad as we feel, they're going to feel pretty damn bad this offseason.
Reese, the other thing I can tell from the YouTube chat the past couple of days, and they say in life, you know you've made it when you have haters. Well, Ohio State has made it. Ohio State football has made it, because the trolls are out strong in the YouTube chat the past couple of days. And it just, as a Buckeye fan, just reaffirms that, yeah, this is the best program in the country.
So I said this because I work with a couple of people on the production side at NBC. One is a big Miami fan. He didn't go there. And the other one is I know it's wild. And then we have other people who have adopted Indiana because they like the story.
Okay.
And the thing that I was saying this weekend is that it was so nice that Ohio State was able to give two programs their biggest wins. Indiana was their biggest win ever until they won the Rose Bowl. And then for Miami, it was their biggest win since I was in elementary school. Right. And so, like, when you think about that context of what it means for teams to beat Ohio State, it makes you puff your chest out in the sense that, like, we made your program.
Yeah.
Right. Like, we beat teams every day and we don't feel any type of way about it. There's not that much that I can talk to other fan bases about. Done a lot of winning, and they get the win, and all of a sudden everybody comes out the woodwork. Well, it just shows you who we are.
And I think back to when the news came out on National Signing Day that Brian Hartline was taking the USF job. And I think it was really, 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 really well done how Ohio State handled all of that, where they were upfront and honest with their recruits, Chris Henry in particular, about Brian's going to be leaving. So if you want to come here for the development specifically under Coach Hartline, you're likely not getting it as he goes to USF. And of course, it worked out in the Buckeyes' favor as Chris Henry reconfirmed his commitment on the national stage, which is always, I think, great for the Buckeyes when you get a commit like that, who's been committed to you as long as he had, come out and say, no, I'm still good with Ohio State because I want to be developed for the next level. Now, with the healthiest of programs, and I think to Alabama and I think to Georgia, when you have coaches on your staff, you almost want for them, after a couple of years here, to go on to bigger and better things.
No doubt.
I think that's the sign of the healthiest program. You see what Nick Saban and four of his assistants are coaching in playoff semifinal games. You see it with Georgia. Dan Lanning's now at Oregon in a playoff semifinal. And I think for Ryan Day, I think this means so. This is just another marker for Ohio State that's in a very healthy spot, to where your play caller from this season, where you were prolific on offense, gets to go and be a head coach somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, the two ways that you would grade that is, first off, wins aside, right? You would say, how many guys are you sending to the league, right? And then what are they doing when they get there is number one. Number two, Are you giving out big extensions to keep guys from leaving, or are they just going? That's what it is, right? Like if you got to give guys raises, and I say that because Kurt Cignetti has protected both of his coordinators. Yeah. Those guys were getting offers from everywhere. He's like, I can't let them leave, but they're coveted, right? Dan Lanning, both of his coordinators, when they're done, they're going different places. They're not even getting on the plane to go back to Eugene. They're getting on different planes to go elsewhere, right? That's a healthy program. And for Ryan Day, with Brian Hartline now moving on, it shows the signs of health.
I think of that all the time with what you guys dealt with, Joshua, because you guys were so good under Urban, and Urban was always losing coordinators and guys on his staff because people coveted that. They wanted that same kind of thing. And we've got the same thing here with Ryan Day. I think of all the coordinators he's gone through, some of them by attrition because it didn't work out, and others now that are moving on to other places. It's a blessing and a curse of having a real healthy program.
I mean, think about Jeff Hafley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That guy might be an NFL head coach next year. You know, like that was one of Ryan Day's guys, right? Like you think about that type of development of coaches. It's an important thing for a program that the coaches also get coached.
And so for Brian Hartline's departure, as he was wide receivers coach, as he was one of your ace recruiters, as he was your offensive coordinator, those duties probably get redelegated, but you do need a wide receivers coach.
Yes.
And so that brings on former LSU wide receivers coach, and the name is currently escaping me.
Cortez Hankton,
thank you, it's expected in the next couple of days to be hired for that same role. The 44-year-old Hankton's had previous stops at Georgia and Vanderbilt. He's also got co-OC duties and pass game coordinator duties on his resume, something I think you've seen with Ohio State's offensive line coach. And I think Keenan Bailey also, when you saw him in the booth for the Cotton Bowl.
I think they're doing that to make sure his pay can be competitive, regardless of how much he's actually involved on the X's and O's.
And I do wonder, great wide receivers coach from LSU. They've put some dudes into the league. I don't have any doubt that he's going to be able to come in and recruit at, I don't know if anyone's going to be able to recruit like Brian Hartline's recruit. I mean, that's an all-time recruiting job by him.
It is, no doubt. Now, the thing that you do have as a benefit is you get to trot that Blocko and that legacy out there when you're recruiting, right? And so that's, of anything, I would lean into some of the guys that he coached at LSU. I'm leaning into that 100%. But then the other thing is, hey, we're still Ohio State's offense. And through the years, we've developed great wide receivers. That's why you should come here.
And we talk about that with guys he's worked with. Two of the prominent ones he worked with, one at LSU was Malik Nabers, the other Ladd McConkey at Georgia. Both of those guys went right into the league and were really good, just like some of these Ohio State guys.
No
so
doubt.
It doesn't seem like it's going to miss a beat.
No, for the recruiting and developing of wide receivers. Now, Ohio State's play calling and what that's going to look like next year, I think is a different question that we're going to have to get into a little bit coming up next. It's Bishop and Friends on The Fan.
Big Voice Guy here to remind you that you're listening to The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Okay, thanks. I have three more seconds. Bye-bye.
What would it take for my child to only miss half a day of school for treatment?
What would it take to find a cure for childhood cancer?
It would take all of us to come together to support the research. Join us. Go to childrenscancer.org today.
Hey, it's Anthony.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
What does it mean to give 100%? It means giving everything you've got, every single day. That's why the V Foundation gives 100% of every dollar donated directly to cancer research. So no matter what you give, we give 100% for life-saving research victories, 100% to making new discoveries that lead to innovative treatments, 100% to groundbreaking cancer research that could one day save someone you love. We know cancer research is working. Over the last 30 years, an estimated 4.5 million lives have been saved thanks to game-changing research breakthroughs. But there is more work to do. That's why the V Foundation gives 100% of every dollar donated directly to cancer research. We will always give 100% to accelerate victory over cancer.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Donate today at V.org.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local,
Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Join our resident gambling degenerates, Steve Biddle and Scotty Vegas, for On the Money, Sunday mornings at 9.
Presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus.
All the action, none of the responsibility.
The Fan.
We got a higher home appraisal after we put away our African art and family photos.
Has this happened to you because of race or national origin? Contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. A message from HUD and the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Hello, it's...
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
And weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Mostly sunny skies are expected here for your Friday with high temperatures around 30 this afternoon. Winds out of the northwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. And then for the weekend, we're still tracking highs around the lower 30s here on Saturday and Sunday. But looking at a mix of clouds and sunshine with more clouds on Saturday than Sunday. And that's a look at your 10 weather impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Darren White here on 97.1 The Fan.
It's Friday, and there's football. I shall call it Football Friday.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Your home for all things football. The Fan. 10 feet tall and bulletproof isn't just a saying. It's a way of life. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Yes, you are. Eric Reeser, Ryan Baker, NBC's Joshua Perry in with us on this Friday edition. First Friday of 2026. Transfer portal's open between now and Friday, January 16th. Right now, we've got about 1,750 Division I football players. Woo. This is per On Three that have put their names into the portal. Just 31 of those have committed and found greener pastures, I'm going to use with air quotes, because that's what you're looking for.
Well, now, the commitment the day that the portal opens.
Or before.
It's a little tampery, isn't it?
What, you know. Are we?
I think people should tamper personally. Nobody's going to stop
everybody's
it.
Tampering.
No, we should have the Tamper Olympics and see who can
tamper the best.
Yes,
that's the next. Because every month it feels like, and even at a greater pace than that, like 24/7 On Three have different metrics or different rankings or different things. Like that's the next 24/7 tracker is the tamper tracker, and who's first, second, third, fourth, and fifth in our tampering rankings.
I would love to see.
Because I said this about Lincoln Riley when they signed 35 players. It's still nuts for a signing class. I'm like, that's probably the only banner Lincoln Riley can hang is the 2026 signing day championship.
Sure.
Great.
Yeah.
I don't know what there is to do with that. Because when I think to those kinds of classes that are signed, I look back at Texas A&M when they won the recruiting championship in 2021 or 2022, and they had all these five stars and so many of them were on the defensive line, and none of them finished with the Aggies.
Well, I mean, there's going to be attrition when your recruiting pitch is money, and there's going to be attrition when you bring in 35 players at one time.
So many kids.
You talk about the transfer portal. I was just looking at 24/7 Sports transfer portal ratings, and three of the top six, number three, number four, and number six, there's all been whispers about Ohio State, right? With Chaz Coleman, yes. Cam Coleman, and Coy Parrish. Yeah. So there's a lot of big fish out there right now.
Well, let's go get some.
Chaz Coleman would be the number one for me. I saw Kirk Bowles covers the Longhorns for, it was the Austin American Statesman. He might still be there, but when talking about Coleman, the wide receiver out of Auburn, he says Texas is in a good spot with Coleman and has an edge over A&M because of Arch Manning. But the Auburn wide receiver is wanting big money. One source says he may ask for $4
million. $4
million. Huh? I talked about those new metrics that are coming out almost on a monthly basis. But and On Three has the NIL valuation. And I think Brendan Sorsby, who's the number one portal quarterback right now out of Cincinnati, is
number one player, according to 24/7. Yeah, according to 24/7, he's number one.
That feels a little bit aggressive.
Brendan Sorsby, Cincinnati
feels
quarterback?
Feels a little bit aggressive.
Has a $1.8 million NIL valuation. And I really want to know, obviously.
Former Indiana quarterback.
Yes. Yes, Windiana.
We all want to see how the sausage is made, I think more so now than ever and everything. And I really want to know how they come up with that NIL valuation for Brendan Sorsby.
I feel like we have a world right now, because we love to consume mm-hmm. content, that is just fake metrics, like the ESPN, all of these different metrics that they have, the win percentage metrics that they put.
So much.
Like, what? How? Somebody send me the formula. I'm like you. I would love to know how you create this stuff, but it's all because we're in a consumption-based society, and it's like, oh, we can look at this and consume it. It's like, guys, it's not telling you anything.
I believe they're really ranking quarterback, that position, high in their evaluations, because I'm guessing Drew Mestermaker, who was the quarterback in North Texas, yep. who's following his coach to Oklahoma State,
yep.
he's the number two player in here. Like, I'm guessing he's not a better player than Chaz Coleman or Cam Coleman, but they're highly evaluating quarterbacks.
It's probably some truth to that. It's like a NFL draft in that sense, where even the quarterback that's lower on a big board is probably mm-hmm. more desirable. So I could see that. The whole thing is interesting to me, like getting in the portal and asking for $4 million. I couldn't imagine myself at 20 being like, yeah, go ahead.
That's,
seven figures.
That's where we're going to begin negotiations, because yesterday's price isn't today's price. As I look Insane. Now, Brendan Sorsby's got a $2.4 million NIL valuation.
Of course he does.
You Sam don't know Levitt, if you don't ask, though.
Yeah, I guess
you
so.
Always know Shoot if you don't shot. Ask.
So which one of these guys is going to be playing for Miami next year?
Well, the Canes think they're in on both, because of course they do. That's one of the teams that's going to be throwing around a lot of money. I know Texas Tech was hot on Sorsby earlier. I mean, they're another team that I think it's very ambitious, because you all want to do what Miami or what Indiana's doing.
Sure.
And going portal back, portal back, portal back, portal back, playoffs, playoffs, playoffs.
The Tech needs an upgrade at quarterback.
Are one of these Baron guys was, and Sam Levitt and Brendan Sorsby that?
Sam Levitt is hard for me to figure out. Both of these, I mean, I don't
what
know.
What about
man.
Dylan Rayola?
I've seen both of them at their worst, right? Yeah. Like, I watched Sam Levitt and I've watched Brendan Sorsby be terrible as young players underdeveloped in the Big Ten, and then go other places and have success. But it's kind of like, okay, when you step back up in a level of competition yeah. where you're not playing Big 12 defenses, like, who are you going to be? That's my big question.
For right now, I see 10 scholarship players for Ohio State. There are three walk-ons that have announced plans to enter the transfer portal. You've got Lincoln Keenholz in, Bryson Rogers, Damarian Witten, Jelani Thurman, Sam Dixon, James Peoples, Bryce West, Logan George, CJ Hicks, Dom Kirks are your portal, at least your portal Buckeyes announced right now. I'm interested when that process happens. Again, going back to how the sausages make. For Sam Dixon, who was Sam Williams Dixon last year, you go into the portal, you come out of the portal, you stay home and you stay in Columbus. And then you say, well, I got some bad advice. Like, how much of this can you extrapolate across those 1,750 players?
I have no idea. I mean, here's the reality of the situation. I think guys who, especially guys who have been at Ohio State for multiple years that are transferring out, understand where they fit in the pecking order.
Mm-hmm.
And those are guys who want to go play ball. And I'm cool with that. I think that makes a ton of sense. Like, go out there and play the game, because it's a hard game to sit and watch, as I mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
But, you know, Jelani Thurman, great example. Never felt like he was on the developmental track he needed to be on, but you could see the flashes. And you're just like, man, maybe one more offseason yeah. here, and now you get to be the breakout guy, right? Like James Peoples. And Bake, you mentioned it
Man,
earlier.
I wanted him to get more. I wanted him to get more so much during the season.
You saw a couple of games there at the end of the year. I think it was the UCLA game where he just, I mean, looked
left like, over another human.
Looked like a dude. And it's like, I get it. The pecking order at running back, how many carries do you realistically get? But you'd love to hold on to a guy like that. I think for a lot of these guys leaving Ohio State's program, it's just a matter of, I know I'm not going to play here.
Yeah.
I think there are a lot of other dudes that, again, feel like they were wrong wherever they were at, and the reality is they just didn't have the right habits. You mentioned these NIL valuations. I think there are a lot of dudes that are like, let's see what the market is. You know, I am a big believer in a robust free agency
yeah.
when you have the opportunity, and you never figure out your value unless you have competing offers. These guys are starting to learn that now. However that works out for them is how it works out. You know, it's finite resources, but I understand where these guys are at trying to get a bag, too.
Joshua, I want to ask you, of all those guys that are in the portal for Ohio State, And then all the guys who are in the portal that maybe Ohio State is interested in, who's the one that's in the portal that's maybe not disappointing, but someone you thought if they ever got their shot here at Ohio State could really be good? And who's the guy that you want Ohio State to go after the most? Because I think of one, I'm not surprised he transferred because of the Ohio State's wide receiver room, but I saw Demaryius Witten play in high school, and that dude is a talented wide receiver, a Glenville kid. I think he's going to go somewhere and be a really solid wide receiver. I get it, because Ohio State wide receivers room is so talented, he's got to go somewhere. And then the guy in the portal that I think I want the most is Coy Parrish, maybe because he almost came here in the first place, maybe because you're losing Caleb Downs, but I think that would be huge.
Yeah, so I'll say Bryce West was a guy when he was getting recruited that I felt like there was a you know, heavy recruitment, a lot of interest. And sometimes it takes those guys a couple years to really get their legs under them. We had some great defensive back play. So always curious about what he was going to look like. I'm with you on Coy Parrish. And I remember that recruitment between Minnesota and Ohio State. Watch what he was able to do at Minnesota, where he was really the one guy for a lot of things. Defensively, he was the guy. Special teams, they use him on offense. He'd be great to get. Rasheem Biles is the other one that becomes really interesting to me as well. And it's the local connection, but also the fact that Arvell Reese isn't going to be here and Sonny Styles isn't going to be here. And I think you try to bring in as many good players at that position for competition this offseason.
And I think it's because Rasheem Biles from Pitt, is he going to make
He's coming here Monday to Columbus.
It got set up pretty quickly. Portal opened at midnight.
Well, local guy. He's called up his high school coach and be like, hey, man, you got any guys that are getting in the portal?
I think it is so important, you know, with the relationships you make on the recruiting trail to never burn those bridges or sever those ties because of now how prevalent the transfer portal is.
I believe that Biles and Sonny Styles might have been teammates Central Connection for a year. Maybe, hey, Sonny.
Top linebacker.
He said, I'm getting ready to leave, and you can be next up.
All right, so I also see Antonio O'Berry from Gardner-Webb. He's a defensive end, plans to visit Ohio State today and West Virginia tomorrow. That's per his agent, which is never going to be weird. It's never going to not be weird to me that, like, agents will be pushing these out to the CBS sports guys, to the 24/7 guys, and they'll push it back out there.
The ones that kill me, and the NFL guys are doing it, and I worked with Sham Sharania, who's at ESPN now, and he does it. But when they have a scoop and then they tag the agent and the agency in the tweet, I don't know why that bothers me so much, but it's basically like, we know you guys are trading on transactions here. Like, you're not actually doing any in-depth reporting, and you're telling us who your source is, which is insane to me.
I thought about it yesterday. You know, you watch Ole Miss's kicker, who's a Western Kentucky transfer. And I think maybe that's where I would like to also see Ohio State go. I know the Buckeyes need some depth along the defensive end, so the Chaz Coleman thing would be great. I also wonder about the interior of the offensive line and how you want to maybe a tackle or how you want
to. I'm bringing in as many of those dudes as I can.
Address it with more guys or go after bigger fish?
Both.
It's such a fine line to walk with all of this.
I
was just going to say, considering how many guys are out there, how many schools are going to be looking for those similar situations, especially in the Big Ten footprint now that you have so much turnover with the coaching staffs.
I think as you talk about offensive line, you'd bring in as many as you can. I think offensive line and quarterback, and we've talked about quarterback on this show a lot, is such a developmental position. Mm-hmm. Those two spots, you can find running backs and receivers and linebackers that can come in and really contribute as true freshmen a lot of times. There's very few Orlando Paces out there that just come in and start from day one. So I think that's where, if I was, other than filling needs, and I think Ohio State has handled the portal beautifully. Mm-hmm. They fill needs, and then if there's a super talented guy, they go out there and get that. But I would think offensive line and quarterback would be two of those positions where I would use the portal hard, because guys that have actually played football, that matters at those positions.
That's a position I'm tampering.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm being completely serious. Like,
it happens.
Yeah. Show me dudes on PFF that don't give up pressures, that don't give up sacks. And I'm finding their high school coach, I'm finding their agent, and I'm talking to whoever's got the NIL money, and I'm saying, let's make this kid an offer.
figure out who the next Pat Coogan's going to be.
Yeah.
Out of this transfer portal, because boy, he's had probably the best year of any player.
Imagine transferring from Notre Dame to Indiana and that being an upgrade to your life.
The national championship favorite.
Think about
Joshua,
that.
I cannot. My little brain cannot comprehend that. Still,
he upgraded his life.
But Indiana's the most, and again, Vegas is telling you this. So there's a reason they build those big buildings, because Indiana is the best team in college football. There are four coaches in the same conference, or the same division, I should say, in one conference in the NFL who have heat on their seat. I don't think that's happened ever before. We'll discuss that next. Bishop and Friends.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Some journeys start small, with small pause and big purpose.
Look how little you are, you sweet girl.
Every great partnership begins with the first step.
Bella, let's go.
Guiding them through the world so one day they can guide someone through life. With shared experience, confidence grows, and the path becomes clear. It takes time, patience, and love. But the reward lasts a lifetime.
Hey, good girl, Bella.
You don't just raise a puppy. You raise a future. Become a Dogs, Inc. puppy raiser. Give a dog a purpose. Give someone hope.
Learn more at dogsinc.org.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Patriot Air Comfort Systems and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep your home comfortable. The Fan.
The perfect show for quarter zips and khaki shorts. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Before we get to some well-deserved heat on the seats of AFC North coaches, just want to revisit real quick. Eric Reeser, Joshua Perry, Ryan Baker, the conference bowl records. There's this tribalism, obviously, when you get to this time of the year of how is my conference doing? And the SEC does it almost as insufferable as anybody else. But I'd like to remind the Southeastern Conference now for the third straight year, a Big Ten team's playing for the national championship.
Yes. and they might not be in it.
No.
For the third straight year.
I think
year.
They'll be left out because I think you saw what Miami did to Ohio State on New Year's Eve. Unless you get similar heroics from Trinidad Chambliss. Miami's going to do that exact same thing because he likes to run away from his offensive line,
which is insane.
And he's and Reuben Payne
got a cannon for an arm too.
I mean, he played out of it. If you're going with college football playoff MVPs right now, he might be it for me.
Yeah.
However, you've got the semifinal game that they'll be playing in next Thursday, but yeah, for the Big Ten,
tough matchup,
9-4.
Yes.
Leads all conferences in terms of wins. Win percentage, I also believe is as good, if not better than everybody except for the Pac-12. They won a game, so they're 100%.
Yeah, and they won't lose a game.
Good for them.
Yeah, congratulations to the Pac-12.
Southeastern Conference, 4-8. Sun Belt, 3-6. It's similar winning percentage. Big 12, 4-2. Yesterday's disappointment was the final thing for that conference, with Texas Tech getting shut out by Oregon. The ACC, 6-4. I saw yesterday where all $14 million that's going to the Atlantic Coast Conference for their participation in the college football playoff will just go to Miami.
You know
no
why,
money for you, Duke.
You know why they're doing that.
I think you have a smarter reason than I.
I think it's 100% to do with, I think the year is 2030 or 2031 where the teams can exit.
I was going to say to placate that university.
That's what they're trying to keep their one team that got in. It's one of their biggest brands happy for as long as they need to make sure that conference doesn't fall apart. It's the only way that makes sense.
And I wonder how much of that lobbying was going on before the CFP was was announced and before these, because I thought all along that if what happened with the ACC and they did not get a champion that was rated high enough to get in, that they were going to throw Miami in there because 100%. They did not want to leave one of their brethren out.
There's no way that the committee would have left a Power Four conference completely out. So I'll say on the flip side too, if Virginia would have won the ACC championship game, I don't think that if they could have made a run like Miami has, which they wouldn't have, that they would have let Virginia keep all that money.
Yeah, I do wonder about that, because I think you would have put the Cavaliers in, and then maybe you're not having JMU or Tulane.
Right. JMU would have been
the team on the outside, which I still think, like, when we do the expansion of the college football playoff, mm-hmm. probably later, I think it's January 23rd is the new floating date for conferences to get together and actually figure something out.
They're not going to. The can will be kicked.
Yep. You maybe remove the group of five as a necessity.
So the thing that I've been told by a lot of people is they don't want to do that because they're scared of lawsuits. And they say it's because, the collusion or whatever of keeping them out. And my whole thing is, you don't have to put them in to say that you're not keeping them out, if that makes sense. Like, you can create a pathway for them, but they have to earn it just like everybody else would have to earn it. My big thing is just go no auto bids, just go straight through, rank them and put them in, and don't have a committee anymore. Go back to a computer model, straight rank them and put the teams in.
I've been saying that for a long time, Joshua, but as Bo says, they can't go meet in a Marriott and
it's the thing that we were talking about
think
earlier.
Think of the Flyer Miles.
Yeah, I mean, it's great.
Because you can't have those committee meetings. Joshua, I'd ask if you'd like to be czar of college football, but I think there already is a guy with the College Sports Commission, which I haven't heard from.
What is the CSC doing right now?
Since they were created.
They got a whole bunch of Deloitte guys over there looking at these NIL valuations and trying to make a decision on those too, which is terrible.
And for the committees, like, you're going to have that ESPN's always going to want to have that television show.
Of course. I think they're contractually obligated to have it still too, which is the terrible part.
And I wonder when this does go to 16 or 18 or 24. Heck, you know what, Tony Petitti? Let's get crazy. We'll do 30. How these shows are going to evolve over time with
I would have to consider quitting.
68 in the NCAA tournament does pretty good.
They're
going
to go to 100. Why not? More is better is what I'm always told by these institutions that make more when there is more. I don't think there's a correlation or anything.
More
like that.
Isn't better. It's just
it's
more.
It's almost never better. With us.
Can we talk about this SEC record in these bowl games?
I'd love to.
Because all year long, everybody's like, oh, they might not have the top end of the Big Ten, which they clearly don't. That is very clear, but it's so deep and all these whatever, whatever. And then we get to bowl season, of course. They're like, oh, our guys opted out like everybody else doesn't have opt-outs. 4-8 record in bowl games. The only games that they have won are either against other SEC teams. So we'll take those out because we can't compare.
No.
A group of five team in Tulane, which was a rematch that we saw earlier in the year. We knew that was going
to
happen.
Nobody wanted to see that rematch either.
And the University of Michigan. They have not beaten a Power Four opponent outside of Michigan or another SEC team this postseason. Think about that. So what am I supposed to make of that conference everybody was telling me was so good all year long?
I think Sankey was saying they deserved seven bids into the college football playoff. Mississippi State.
You know what? I give him a lot of credit. I wish he would shut the hell up, but his job is to do exactly what he does.
He's got to be pounding the table.
And I give him credit because he's got everybody eating out of the palm of his hands.
Yeah.
He goes to bat for his conference and tries to make brands and make his conference important, where Tony Petitti, you never hear from him. And when you do, it's all about making more money and more TV shows.
Tony Petitti, I appreciate gotten to know him. I think he's a very smart guy, but he has not figured out the politicking the way that Sankey has. And to your point, it definitely feels like when he's ready to say something, it's an angle to try to make more money instead of being like presently angling to prop up the conference that he is a commissioner of.
He's always trying to soft launch things. Not not necessarily like full on. Here's what we're going to do. He's like, how about this idea?
That's his PR 100% is before I make a decision, let's float this out and see how people feel about it. Like, that is his modus operandi, and I appreciate it.
And we understand the job. And I think anybody in that position, you want to give me several million dollars to just politic, I'll be your shield. You can throw as many slings and arrows you want at me.
All
I'm getting
time.
$4 million a year to do so. I had mentioned the Bulldogs of Mississippi State. They're 5-7, which you can't see me shaking my head unless you're watching on YouTube. But they've got Wake Forest tonight at 8 o'clock in the Duke's Mayo Bowl. So there's your SEC chance to try to climb from out of that 4-8 record.
Have?
Wake Forest.
I like Wake.
8-4 Demon Deacons, who I would say are...
Wake Forest was a couple bad calls away from being 10-2 this year, by the way. Georgia Tech, they got hosed in that game. Nobody ever talked about it. There was an egregious offsides that was not called on a critical third down. Quarterback dropped back through it. Didn't call it. It was incomplete. And so they had to punt the ball. It was insane. They can at least be a 9-win team right now.
Well, they get their chance for Wake Forest
again. Let's go, Wake.
Tonight at 8 o'clock. You've got, I think, fun on the slate in college football today. Arizona takes on SMU in the Holiday Bowl. That's an 8 o'clock game on Fox. At 4:30, Navy and the Horvath Horror Show take on Cincinnati. Cincinnati won't have Brennan Sorsby. He's in the portal. But that's the Liberty Bowl. And then at 1 o'clock, Rice takes on Texas State in the Armed Forces Bowl. So you have college football today on the slate. There's also college basketball tonight. Ohio State's going to Rutgers to play the Scarlet Knights in Piscataway, a Peacock-only production, but we are big fans of Peacock on this program.
How's Rutgers this year?
6-6.
Okay, so this should be a dub for the Bucks.
Don't say that, because those kinds of games that should be dubbed sometimes, especially in January when you kind of get into the new year, have become an issue. But for Jake Diebler's squad, they can go to 2-1 in conference play a win. Brandon Beam will be in here at 7 o'clock to gently warm you up. We'll have state or network pregame that'll start at 7:15. We'll do Thing or Not a Thing coming up next. Bishop and Friends.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
This is the Jake Diebler Show, brought to you by Encova Insurance. To have the commodity Jake of a Bruce Thornton and to see his growth even as a senior game in and game out, what impresses you the most?
The consistency that he operates with and how elite of a level he operates with is really special. It's really, you know, probably the best or one of the best that I've ever seen and been around. So I think it's who he is, and that's what makes it really special.
We'll have another comment right after this.
Hi, I'm Archie Griffin, two-time Heisman Trophy winner. The right coverage can be a game changer, both on and off the court. That's why Encova Insurance and their local independent agents are prepared for what's next and protect what matters most to you. Whether that's your home, car, business, or family, Encova's got your back with a policy that fits you perfectly. With local independent agents in your neighborhood and innovative insurance products that can be tailored to fit your unique needs, Encova's playbook is an easy win for your peace of mind. Basketball is full of challenging shots, and life can be too. With Encova, you don't have to do it alone. Your expert agent will guide you and provide insurance solutions so you can confidently manage your risk and count on a financially secure future. For auto, home, and business insurance, you want Encova on your team. Visit Encova.com today to find an agent near you. Encova is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Go Bucks!
At Ohio State, we are the never afraid to innovate teams, the agile, get it done teams, the achieve more together teams, and the improve people's lives teams. Together, we are the Ohio State University.
Learn more about Ohio State at osu.edu/impact.
Speaking of Bruce Thornton, he can lead by example. He can be a little bit more vocal, I'm sure, now as a senior. But where do you see that effect coming on some of the young players and just the group as a whole on your program?
Well, I think when, you know, you're around him every single day, you begin to appreciate just the level at which he operates with and how he approaches, you know, his craft. And guys are feeling sore, guys are feeling tired, but then you know he's – sore, tired as well, but it doesn't affect him. He just keeps bringing it at the highest level. So I think that becomes contagious, and our guys got great respect for him.
You get a sense a player like that, knowing it's his last year in college, senses the urgency a little bit more?
Yeah, I think there's some urgency there, certainly. And, you know, he's working on solidifying a legacy, I think, here, and that's important to him. So I appreciate, you know, how much he cares about this place and, you know, how he wants to finish his career. And I think it says a lot about who he is.
This is the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield.
Toyota Thon is on, and it's the perfect time to wrap up the year with a new Toyota. Now through January 5th, get 2.99 APR financing on remaining new 25 Tacomas. Excludes TRD Pro and Trail Hunter. Or lease a well-equipped 25 Tacoma SR5 for $259 a month for 39 months with $39.99 due at signing. With approved credit through TFS. Tax, title, and license extra. Call 1-888-36-TOYOTA for details or go to toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Everybody knows that Roosters is a fun, casual joint with their award-winning waitstaff, great food, fun, and laughter. It's a quick stop on the way home to sit back and unwind. It's a front row seat to the big game. Roosters is where you, your family, and friends can order pizzas, sandwiches, salads, and more. And the home of award-winning wings that are fresh, never frozen, and so big you won't believe it. It's your family's other dinner table. Roosters, a fun, casual joint. And the official wing sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Ship and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
The friends are the guests and listeners. Reese and Baker just work here.
Back to work. Back to work. Everybody. Work, 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 work. Work, work.
You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
I mean, I know it's only January 2nd, but somebody's got to work. Eric Reese, Ryan Baker, we con Joshua Perry into sitting with us until noon today. And I'm going to see if I can do this right with the button the first time.
One.
I did it wrong.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus. Find your next grill and everything you need for the master griller. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
I had one job.
So I feel like that's a bit. I feel like thing or not a thing. What? You did that on purpose.
What do you mean?
I think you did that as
a bit in radio?
Yeah. I'm just...
I don't like what I'm being accused of here.
I think you might have done that.
How dare you insinuate I'm a radio honk. But this is a segment, not necessarily a bit. Things are bits. Not saying this is going to be one of those. What I am going to start with, Joshua, is this 8 crying laughing face emoji tweet from Micah Parsons. Clarence Hill covers the Dallas Cowboys and said yesterday that DC Matt Eberflus admitted things changed for their defense when they lost an all-pro pass rusher who can win quick, but then odds you can't look back. Micah Parsons comes in from the top rope with 8 crying laughing face emoji tweets. Dallas last in the NFL in points per game, 30th in yards allowed per game. Thing or not a thing?
It's a thing from the standpoint of I think you should have known at the very beginning of the season that things wouldn't be the same, that things could not be the same when you lose a player like that. And by the way, right, Micah Parsons probably made your secondary look a lot better than what it was for all those years because quarterbacks are under duress. I mean, we saw with Julian saying the difference between him when he has time and when he doesn't, right? Quarterbacks are better when they don't have pressure in their lap, and he was the guy generating it.
So to me, this isn't much of a thing, and it's not because Micah Parsons isn't a great player and Micah Parsons wouldn't have changed that defense. I don't think the Dallas Cowboys were going to be any good with him this year. Like, if Micah Parsons was on the Dallas Cowboys, I don't think their record is any better than it was with the 7-8-1. I actually think they probably played a little better than some of us thought. And I know they lost Micah Parsons, but they did gain Clark on the interior of their defensive line that helped solidify that, and they felt they had more pass rushers. But I guess the thing is, to me, I don't think that the Cowboys were going to be good with or without Micah Parsons. I also would not have paid him as much as Green Bay did, and it sounds like the Cowboys were willing to give him in that $40 million range, which most of the pass rushers are. But I think he got 48 with Green Bay, and that was just a lot of money. The Cowboys are a team that I think needs to not build for the future, but they've got a lot of holes other than what Micah Parsons could have filled. So I think that those picks were fine for them, and they weren't going to be a team that pushed for a playoff spot this year with or without. So I didn't really mind the trade.
Yeah, that's fair. I feel like they would have been better than the worst defense in the NFL. Now, I agree with you as a team, probably not tracking back. They got to do a much better job with how they put together their roster and how they manage the salary cap, all those different things. But, of course, it's Jerry Jones. He's going to do what he wants to do.
Yeah, you talk about the salary cap with Dak Prescott. I guess he can win the league's passing title this Sunday against the Giants. He's got to hold off Matthew Stafford to do so. So that... something for, I guess, the Cowboys to play for and to not get embarrassed by an NFC East foe. ESPN's Adam Schefter reported Thursday that ESPN's Troy Aikman will advise the Miami Dolphins on their GM search process. Schefter says Dolphins ownership wanted an outside respective perspective from someone who had strong relationships across the league. The Dolphins and Chris Greer, quote, mutually parted ways on Halloween after the Dolphins started 2-7. Greer with been with the organization since 2000. Miami 7-9 entering Sunday's season finale at the Patriots. I think it's interesting to note the owner of the Dolphins, a Michigan man, Adam Schefter, a Michigan mouthpiece. Thing or not a thing?
The only reason this is a little bit of a thing is I feel like too many organizations, too many athletic departments offshore their processes for hiring, the committees and the firms, and now inviting media people that you respect because they have relationships, because they're in media. Like, that to me is it's not a great way to run an organization. That's my take on that.
Yeah, this is a thing because I don't know if it's the right thing for the Miami Dolphins. Troy Aikman obviously knows ball, and he obviously knows a lot of people around the league, but I don't know how much he knows about running a football team and what a general manager needs to do and should do and all of that. And I mean, we just talked about the Cowboys. What he knows is Jerry, right? Mm. And that is maybe not the best way to be a general manager of a team. This concerns me less, though, than with having the broadcaster there and him helping with this than Tom Brady actually being part of an owner of a team. But I don't know if this is the smartest move by the Miami Dolphins. But again, it might be genius because I don't know how much Troy Aikman knows about what a good general manager would be.
I don't think it's smart. I think that people do this so when they inevitably make the wrong hire, they can be like, well, it was really Aikman's fault. It wasn't my fault.
Just throw Troy under the bus.
Yeah, I think that's what they do.
Not Steven Ross's fault. Yeah, Troy Aikman's fault.
Yep.
It was reported yesterday that Northwestern is expected to hire former UCLA play caller Jerry Neuheisel to be the school's new quarterbacks coach. He's a former Chip Kelly assistant who's going to rejoin Chipper in Evanston. Thing or not a thing?
All right, so this is, it's not a thing, right? Like, I can appreciate Chip Kelly wanting to have some continuity with the guys he's bringing in for offense. So he's bringing in Neuheisel. I think he's bringing in Drevno as well to coach the offensive line. They have experience together. So all that makes sense. I feel like Jerry Neuheisel was the hot name during the season when UCLA won a couple of games. And people talked about him like he was the interim head coach and it wasn't Tim Skipper. And that pissed me off. And then by the end of the year, we realized why this dude was coaching tight ends. And it's because he's not ready to have the call sheet. Like, they dropped off a cliff once they got over that little magical run. So I think he's a good coach for what he has done. I like Chip Kelly doing this, but this is absolutely not a thing to me.
I'll say it's a slight thing just in the fact that there does seem to be some potential with Jerry Neuheisel as a up and coming football coach, and maybe being with a guy under the mentorship of Chip Kelly can help them help him out. It's funny that you talked about that because he was the face of everything UCLA was doing, and he was not Tim Skipper, the interim head coach. And it was so funny. But most people, I think, if you ask them about UCLA football down the stretch of the 2025 season, the face they're going to see is Jerry Neuheisel.
Well, part of it's because of his dad, right? In the game that they won against Penn State,
it was on CBS,
and they kept showing his dad, right? So, like, I get how people came to this conclusion. Like, oh, Jerry's the guy. He wasn't the guy. And then once we got past that little three-game stretch, it was like, we see why he's not the guy.
Spitting image of his dad too, but he is a coach that maybe you kind of watch here the next couple of years, see how he grows and develops.
No doubt.
I know how much teams and coaches love to find the next guy and have that next guy on the staff, so you do kind of make a sexy splash bringing in, because I forgot until this week, David Braun was the head coach at Northwestern. Sure. I hadn't thought about the Wildcats
in a
moment.
He's the most nondescript coach in the Big Ten.
It's wild that now he's going to be coaching against Pat Fitzgerald, who has the job at Michigan State. Like, the carousel has produced some really wild things.
I'm out on Fitz, by the way.
In the Big Ten. I want to hear more about that coming up next. It's Bishop and Friends on The Fan.
Common Man, a radio veteran, has a large hemorrhoid. Timmy Hall, a good clean boy, moonlights as man's hemorrhoid. Common Man and Timmy.
Weekdays at 3.
The Fan.
Men, the New Year's.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Tell people I was the luckiest guy in the world. I wanted to be an army man or a fireman, and I got to do both. As a firefighter, my job was about saving lives. I never thought one day I would be fighting for mine.
After spending his career answering the call to save others, Ken was diagnosed with ALS. Now he's facing his biggest battle, for more time. For 70 years, Muscular Dystrophy Association has been answering the call to help people live longer and more independent lives.
MDA means to me hope.
MDA is leading the way for people living with ALS, muscular dystrophy, and other neuromuscular diseases by accelerating research, advancing care, and advocating to empower families like Ken's.
I wouldn't be living as good of a life with ALS if it wasn't for MDA. MDA is helping people live stronger and love longer. Learn more at MDA.org today.
Around the world, Children International and friends like you are giving children in poverty a chance to grow and thrive, to be healthy, to succeed in school, and achieve great things. How do we do it? In the best way possible. By helping ensure access to healthcare, nutrition, and educational opportunities. And most importantly, by empowering youths and their families to get out of poverty and into employment through life skills, computer, and job training. The very tools they need to break the cycle of poverty and build futures full of promise. Because every child deserves a chance to realize their full and best potential. Learn more about how Children International is empowering children and families by going to children.org today. That's children.org.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. The Basketball Buckeyes are back in action Friday. Ohio State's at Rutgers tonight at 8. You can hear it on The Fan with coverage at 7. Buckeyes are 1-1 in the Big Ten. They'll return to the Shot on Monday, hosting number 13, Nebraska. In college football, the 15-day transfer portal window is open. On3 says there are more than 1,700 players in the portal as of this morning. The window is going to close on Friday, January 16th. Buckeyes have about 10 players that have announced plans to transfer as of Friday, including running back James Peoples. We're 35 days out from the Winter Olympics. This morning, USA Hockey announced the roster for the games in Italy that'll include Jackets defenseman Zach Werenski, the first Olympic Games for NHL players since 2014. Zach's back for the CBJ, will host the Buffalo Sabres on Saturday and the Penguins on Sunday. Both of those games will face off at Nationwide at 3 p.m. You can hear Blue Jackets hockey all season long right here on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
General Sherman marched through Georgia. He was listening to this show.
Use your skills for good, young warrior.
This is Bishop and Friends.
Eric Reeser, Ryan Baker, NBC Sports, Joshua Perry in with us on this Friday. Happy New Year if you haven't heard it from anybody already. I guess crappy New Year to everybody not named Kurt Cignetti. The coaching carousel, Joshua, in the Big Ten's been pretty wild. I had wondered after the dust settles with Michigan and Kyle Whittingham eating Cheez-Its in the press box, if the Nittany Lions with Campbell and the Wolverines with Whittingham will enter this year of 2026 in a better coaching situation than they did in 2025, the Nittany Lions with Franklin, the Wolverines with Sharon Moore?
I think Michigan 100% is in a better coaching situation. Almost anybody would have been an upgrade over Sharon Moore.
I think so too.
So we can put that to the side. What intrigues me about Penn State is I think that they are in a better coaching situation, but I'm also not convinced that James Franklin is as bad of a coach as everybody's trying to convince me he is. I think that he could walk into the ACC, James Franklin, and win it next year.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll start with that. Now, Penn State's got a very favorable schedule for this upcoming year, so, you know, Matt Campbell might look like a genius. I don't know if their roster is going to be in as good of a situation as it was under James Franklin, and I don't know if it'll ever be there. One of the things that James Franklin did very well was he recruited, and players loved him, so he could retain players for multiple years, and weren't guys just leaving year after year after year. So that's going to be my biggest question there. Like, yes, you might have won in terms of the coaching, the players, the roster might not be the same. And unless you're Kurt Cignetti, right, like you still need blue chip guys. Yeah. Like, he's the only one, it seems like, who's really winning at the highest level, without blue chip guys.
And for the Nittany Lions, Ethan Grunkmeyer, Central Ohio guy,
is Olentangy guy,
the transfer portal. That's right. He's
the OG.
That's right. The original.
Probably was told, Grunkmeyer, that they're going to be looking at Rocco Becht, who is in the portal, or who will be entering the transfer portal. He's Iowa State's former quarterback. So obviously there's that connection with Matt Campbell, which makes a lot of this kind of difficult when you have a coach that gets to a new spot and he wants to bring guys with him. You look at guys that are already on the roster for the new school and go, sorry, there's probably not a place for you.
Right.
And I don't know, and you know, how much Iowa State football are you watching outside of Iowa State, Iowa? And you're not seeing spectacular quarterback play in that any given year. Although I think the quarterback for Iowa played really well down the stretch. Like, he was the best quarterback, I think, at the FCS level last year, and it took him a little bit to get going for the Hawkeyes. But that was a really good win by Iowa in their bowl game.
I mean, out-dueled Diego, should have won the Heisman Pavia. Yeah, I know.
I'm really glad that talk died.
Yeah, same, actually. Like,
it was going to be the winner of the Big Ten. I think that quarterback was winning the Heisman, but I didn't think Pavia was even a top five quarterback this season.
Yeah.
In terms of production for his team.
Brother, he wouldn't have been a top five quarterback if he was in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
This is the thing that I tried to say about halfway through the year, and people looked at me like I was crazy. The Big Ten was the best quarterback conference this year.
Yeah.
It really was. And so I think if Diego was out here with the Iowa jersey on, he'd just be another dude.
About him.
So Rocco Becht, looking at his stats from this year, 16 passing touchdowns to 9 interceptions, is 60% passer. Super veteran guy. He likes to use his legs. So, you know, you get a little bit of that. And there's the familiarity in the comfort. So I think if you're if you're a coach coming in, I think that's what a lot of guys like. They want to have their guys with them while they're installing the culture, while everything's in transition. Now, Ethan, our guy Grunk, played after Drew Aller got hurt.
Yeah.
I thought toward the end of the year, he started playing very well. I mean, you look at it against Michigan State, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. Against Nebraska, touchdown, no interceptions on 90% completion. Rutgers, 1 touchdown, no interceptions. And then the bowl game, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, 260 yards passing on 67% completion. For a guy who hadn't played very much football, seems like there's a lot of upside. So whoever gets him out of the portal might be getting a bit of a diamond in the rough, and who's to say that he's not going to be down at Vatech with James Franklin anyway?
Which I think would be a great landing spot, because you're absolutely right, in Virginia Tech and the coach that James Franklin is, and with that conference, who didn't put their conference champion into the playoff, Duke won the ACC. There's no way to tell, because with what Miami's going to lose this offseason, are they going to be able to replace all of... No, there's no way you replace all of that. Next season, they're going to be doing the portal backing again. The Hurricanes will. And
they're losing both of the tackles. They're losing both of the rushers. That's enough for me. And the quarterback's gone. It feels like a different team at that point.
And so I think the opportunity is there for James Franklin at Penn State, I think, to have a better 2026 than 2025, just in terms of moving on.
Right.
Moving in the right direction.
I think the James Franklin thing, and Reese, you know, I said this the day it happened. Careful what you wish for,
sure.
Penn State, because I feel like James Franklin had you at your ceiling. I don't know if you're winning national championships anymore at Penn State, maybe once every couple decades, but you were right there, a team that was going to be in the college football playoff every year with him. Now, I understand it went off the rails this year for whatever reason. That Oregon loss really demoralized them, and I feel like they let that go into three losses after that. But James Franklin was a guy who, he was a really darn good coach, and sometimes the guy across from you is just better than you. Mm. And I think that's what happened with these Ohio State and these Michigan games and whatnot. Those other teams were just better, and they beat you. And sometimes there's nothing wrong with that. And I think he's going to go to Virginia Tech. The expectations, at least at the start, aren't going to be super high. He's going to get them back playing for ACC championships. And I think that was a home run hire for Vautech.
I tend to agree. And to talk about the Penn State side of it, I'm with you completely. And the divorce to me needed to happen. I think anymore, if you're in a place for longer than a decade, as public as things are and the way media is, and like you see everybody's pimples and you just start getting tired of guys, right? So like, that made sense to me, but this idea of we're going to upgrade definitively with our head coach, and we are going to be a national championship contender, as our AD Pat Kraft said when they fired James Franklin. I've never seen Penn State win a title in my lifetime. I have not witnessed that before. So that whole thing to me felt like it was out of bounds. They set themselves up for crazy expectations. Now, Matt Campbell, you're coming in there. How long do you get to win a title? Yeah. And especially watching what Kurt Cignetti has done, I think patience is a lot thinner. Yep. But to me, that expectation for that program does not seem to fit. And so I'm very curious how people are going to be over the next 2, 3, 4 seasons up there as they watch Penn State football.
And listen, Matt Campbell had some good years at Iowa State. There's no doubt about it. But he went in cycles. Like at one time, oh, he could be the next coach at Ohio State or Michigan. Then you didn't hear about him for 3 years. Then all of a sudden he was back up. Like, I understand Iowa State's a tough place to win at. Penn State's an outpost too, though.
It is.
And I think the conference is going to be feeling the Cignetti effect for a decade. Because I look at Michigan State and what they did with Pat Fitzgerald. And the money that has been sunk in now to that athletic department makes me think that they want that to happen. Was they look at Texas Tech and they look at Indiana, Texas Tech to a greater extent because the money's more equal with what happened at Michigan State and what's happening down in Lubbock, and saying, do that, Pat Fitzgerald. But if you're the kind of head coach that when an agent comes to you and says, my receiver in the portal wants $2 million, you can't just tell him to bleep off and expect to win football games nowadays.
That's kind of who Fitz is, though. Like, he is a stubborn kind of old school guy. And he's one of those dudes that likes to operate in a silo too. Like, it's an echo chamber inside of his program because he likes to have his guys around. When the firing started happening and people were like, oh, Fitz would be a home run, I disagreed with that. Part of the reason why was the last three full seasons at Northwestern were abysmal. They were all 1-8 Big Ten records, right? So the wheels had fallen off, but he has not done a great job of hiring, except for his defensive coordinator that was a longtime defensive coordinator at Northwestern, who's retired now. It was the only guy he hired that was like a legit dude. He's been bad at hiring offensive coordinators. Like, it's, to me, he did for Northwestern all that he could do. And that was a spot until the whole scandal thing that it felt like would never have to leave. And I feel like now that he's outside of that, I'm just not sure. And by the way, probably not a dude who is Mr. NIL, Mr. Transfer Portal. It's like, it's a weird time to be Fitz.
Because with the money that gets infused, and we hear about it all, and we've heard about it since NIL was given the green light, was booster donor fatigue. If I'm sinking $400 million, if my AccraSure company is going to be, they're going to keep printing money because they're putting their names on stadiums, but I'm going to give you a bunch of money. I need results now. I'm not waiting. Don't give me your 3-year plan. Don't give me your Jim Knowles binder. I need it now. Right. Now is the time to do this. And if you're, like you said, with Pat Fitzgerald in his echo chamber, if I can't get through to you, I'm going to eject you.
How do you think Alabama's boosters feel today?
Would they have wanted to lose that game to Oklahoma?
So
that DeBoer would have gone to Michigan?
I mean,
that's
probably.
That's wild to think about,
though. I think DeBoer is probably feeling that same way right now, too.
That's nuts. Because only at Alabama could your seat be just as hot at the beginning of the season than when you make the college football playoff.
It's insane. How do you think the Texas boosters feel right now?
Yeah.
Over the last couple of years, they've thrown a lot of money into that roster, and you make a semifinal run, and then you play in the Cheez-Its.
Playing for the Cheez-Its.
How's it going?
Is, I think, not the return on the investment that
How's
Texas boosters, especially when you're looking down the street and you're seeing A&M make the play,
right.
A&M knock on the playoffs door. You did, I guess it's a feather in the cap for Texas. They got to knock A&M out of the playoff, but Texas Tech, they're putting that oil money into a college football playoff. I don't think Tech's going anywhere, but for Texas.
Just to the booster fatigue point, I do think there's this idea of, in the old setup, at least you got your name on a building or in the stadium somewhere. And these guys are still paying for access, so they get all that stuff. But it could be seen in that way. And now you're hoping that it can be seen by trophies, which won't have your name on them, by the way. But you can tell the guys at the country club about them. You can talk about it at the country club. But I think if you're not getting the trophies, they're like, well, I'm going to get my name on the building then. Screw you guys.
We're talking about this. Let's add private equity into it too, guys. Let's do that.
Utah's doing it. We're going to come up to a point
Utah being the school to do it also is insane to me. But BYU's got a blank check based off of the church
crumble
out there.
Well, the church and the cookie crumble guy, I think is a member of the church.
Yeah.
So
I can see why Utah's trying to get their money up.
Something different.
Yeah.
But I think for Michigan State, they're looking around and seeing we can do that as well. Is Fitzgerald going to be the guy that can get them at least knocking at the door of a college football playoff appearance? Is I think the return that they'd like in a couple of years. Talked about heat on the seat for college coaches. What about some NFL coaches with heat on their seat? We'll get to that next. It's Bishop and Friends on The Fan.
We're the girthiest radio station in the history of radio. Uncomfortably girthy. This promo is uncomfortable. The Fan, Ohio's girth destination.
I'm back.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Are the keepers of the wild, America's original and most invested conservationists. For more than 80 years, we've been committed to conserving wildlife and the natural landscapes that define our nation. From rugged alpine ridgelines to peaceful tall grass prairies, we've supported the conservation of more than 36 million acres of American wildlands. Our funding has led to cleaner water, fresher air, and improved wildlife habitat. From abundant fish and waterfowl populations to robust deer and elk herds, nothing is more important than maintaining wild spaces for adventurers to explore and wildlife to thrive. We are America's hunters and target shooters, stewards of the American outdoors.
America's hunters and target shooters, along with firearm, ammunition, and archery manufacturers, have invested more than $46 billion to help state fish and wildlife agencies manage and protect wildlife and wildlands across America. For more information, visit OutdoorStewards.org.
Hey guys, 13-year NFL veteran and Super Bowl champion Jason McCourty here, and I'm an innovation ambassador at FAIR, Food Allergy and Research Education. I would say the most challenging thing as a parent of a kid who has a food allergy is probably the ignorance that I myself had in the beginning. I didn't know what anaphylactic shock was. I didn't know the dangers, let alone the things that she needed to be able to have a normal life. When you go to drop your kid off, and every single time in the beginning, we'd have to go through everything she was allergic to. Preparation is everything. And me, for playing football for 13 years, it was all throughout the course of the week. It's getting ready for game day. When you're on the field, you're playing for your fans. At home, you're playing for your family. My playbook: read labels, keep it allergy friendly, and have an epinephrine nasal spray as a backup plan. Because when my family's safe from food allergens, that's the real victory. Visit foodallergy.org to learn more.
Morning Juice is now live on YouTube. Join Bobby Carpenter and Jeff Fedoff weekday mornings from 6 to 8.
Just search 971 The Fan to catch the live experience or watch on demand.
The Fan.
Hello, it's...
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
And weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Mostly sunny skies are expected here for your Friday with temperatures around 30 degrees here for this afternoon. Winds out of the northwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. And then for the weekend, we are looking at a mix of clouds and sunshine with more clouds on Saturday. Highs around 30 degrees here for Saturday and Sunday. And that's a look at your 10 weather impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Aaron White here on 97.1 The Fan.
Have you already started your tailgate? Us too. It's Football Friday.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. With friends like these, who needs former college football players? This is Bishop and Friends.
I take umbrage with that imaging. We have a former college football player in with us, the great Joshua Perry.
Hello.
We needed a professional as Bo's taking the day off. It's really difficult. I don't need to explain this to you, Joshua. Just now that the football season has just increased and will continue to expand and increase. Like, the holidays become, yes, hey, great, Christmas, Hanukkah, New Year's. We love all of these things, but there's a college football game on. Yep. Shut up, New Year's. Go away, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. Sure, it's a day, but there's college football on.
Back when I was with the Big Ten Network, we would cover the bowl games and playoff games and such. And my wife's birthday is December 27th, so she just celebrated 2 days after Christmas. And a lot of days I'd be traveling, a lot of times, for her birthday. So I get it. Like, it's 24-7 around here. You know who said he doesn't believe in PTO?
I know who's done this.
Yeah.
And I know who will continue to do it.
Yep.
You know, Baker accused me earlier of having a bit. I don't, you know, necessarily believe that I do that kind of radio honkery. But I think that is the case for our friend, who likes to talk about PTO all of the time.
He has multiple bits that he likes
to do. And I know you've known him longer, and so I think you and I will be on the same page with this, and Baker probably as well, is you just don't play into it anymore. You act like the wall that he likes to act like sometimes, where you're just trying to throw stuff at him, and he just...
You have to address it sometimes.
He'll get to you. He's very good at that.
I mean, we all have our flaws, right? And that's
he who
that's
should not of, be named.
That's one of our friends.
Listen to T-Bone and Tyvus weekdays, 6 to 9 on the Fan.
What I don't like
he'll
about
drive
it,
you nuts too.
What I don't like about it though is, I mean, he lives. We talked about the OG where you went to high school.
Oh, yeah.
He lives right there. We can't be having that kind of nonsense in your hood.
Well, I know, and I live just a little bit north of that nowadays too. And I agree. Like I need him to understand the mentality. Now, listen, I used to be a guy, my wife would get on me. I used to be a guy who didn't take the days off, but it wasn't because I didn't believe in it. It was just like, you know, I didn't have an occasion or whatever. And then get to the end of the year and it's like, oh my gosh, I got these days. Like, I gotta do something with them. I believe in the time off.
You've earned it.
Yeah. Like this idea of not believing in it, like they give it to you. That is a part of your compensation, brother. Like, use your time off.
I'm the guy that uses it to go work other places.
I mean, let's
make the money. Let's double dip.
Hustle.
Yeah.
I love hustle. It.
Craig asks in the YouTube chat, I thought everyone in radio had a bit. Welcome to the bit, brother. Week 18 in the NFL begins Saturday. You've got the Panthers and the Buccaneers. And Joshua, I don't know how much you've heard Bo lament over the last couple of weeks as if the Carolina Panthers win the if the Carolina Panthers make the playoffs, and to make the playoffs, I think they've got to win the NFC South. Bo's got to owe his kid $1,000.
Whoa.
He decided to double down a couple of times after his kid came to him and said, Dad, somebody skied down Mount Everest. And Bo said, that's ridiculous. And they got into a back and forth on that. Bo should have known better that his kid had already seen the video of, I think, the Red Bull sponsored skier going down Mount Everest,
sure,
which is nuts.
Right.
But it happened. And I think some doubling down was done to where now the Carolina Panthers could cost Bo $1,000.
Bo's got money, though. He'll be all right.
But it's true. It's also about the principle. And so now on this show, we've become Carolina Panthers fans. So we will want them to keep pounding.
Keep pounding.
Saturday at 4:30. A game that we're going to have on the Fan too, because of Blue Jackets hockey, will be the Browns and the Bengals. With really the only thing to play for, pride and to have a game for your fan base that they can hang their hats on the end. What's been a bad season for both. For the Browns, you have Myles Garrett going for the sack record.
Yeah.
He is one away. And Joe Burrow's been a guy who has not played well against Miles. So this does feel like, for Browns fans, and I am one of them, Baker is one of them. Joshua, I don't know where you sit on that. I hope you are not one of them.
I'm not.
Good job out of you and your parents. You watch for that, and then if you're a Bengals fan, you look at the Steelers and what they did last week, because it felt like Pittsburgh, who had the chance to win the AFC North.
I know.
Went to the game going, we're not going to give up
that
the sack record.
That pissed me off so bad. And if the Bengals decide that's how they want to play, I think that is so garbage. That is an awful way to play.
You have the division to play for. You have an opportunity to make the playoffs. And I don't know what the run would be for whoever wins the AFC North, because...
Yeah.
Woof. That feels like an very early Big exit. 10 West, yeah. of this division that used to be the black and blue division.
I know.
The toughest in football is now the fattest kid in the race.
Yeah. No, I mean, it feels like an early exit there. But I don't believe in this idea of playing for pride.
No?
No, and I'll tell you why. Because we're bad. The pride is gone.
Yeah.
The pride is no longer there. We're not a good football team. I'm playing for a check. I'm playing to put good things on tape just in case I'm not back. I believe in that. This idea of pride, like, the organization should have had a lot more pride. Both of these organizations, honestly, don't operate with enough pride for me to want to play with pride. Okay, so let's just start with that. However, Myles Garrett coming up on that record, that's the pride point.
Yeah.
That's the one that you want to see. And that's why I'm going to be tuning into that game.
We'll have pregame coverage at 11 again over on the Fan 2, 1460 on the AM dial. It's the Blue Jackets and the Penguins Sunday at 3 o'clock. Blue Jackets and Sabres tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Zach Werenski's coming back for that game against the Sabres. He was named a Team USA's Olympic roster this morning. Elvis Merzlikin's going to be representing Team Latvia in 35 days at the Milan Cortina Olympics. But back to the NFL with the four coaches of those four teams that are now the fattest kid running the race. They've all got heat on the seat for different reasons. Mm-hmm. Do you, at the end of this, come Black Monday, see any of them given pink slips?
Yeah, I could see it. And I talked about this with James Franklin, his tenure, but like Tomlin and Harbaugh specifically, like at that point, you know that they can coach, but you start to ask the question, do you just need new blood?
Yeah.
Like, do you need a different message? Do you need a different leader, voice in the front of the room? Do you need a different philosophy? And I think it's a valuable question for either organization to ponder, whether they actually do make a move. I certainly think there's some revamping. Now, the Brown situation to me is very odd because of the Shedeur Sanders part of it. And it seems like the front office and Stefanski were at odds of how they felt about him. And Shador's had to be the guy. What is the philosophy for this draft? I really don't like a lot of the quarterbacks in the draft. I certainly don't like them where the Browns would be drafting. So is this now a Stefanski still has to coach Shedeur thing? Do you want to have that go on? That's a question. And then for the Bengals, I think you could start over. I think they should.
I think it's time in Cincinnati where you just need somebody else with Burrow.
I think so.
But I also think if Burrow wants to keep Zach, where are you going with that? Because they've acquiesced to a lot of his demands.
If he wants to keep
previous off seasons,
there's a question for me about who do you want to be as an organization of player.
Yeah.
So I think the only way the Bengals get rid of Zach Taylor, and it's just because as an organization they're so cheap, and I believe he has 2 years left on his contract now. Yeah. I believe the only way they get rid of him is if Joe Burrow goes to them and says, I will not play for this guy.
Very interesting.
I think that's the only way that happens. The Ravens and the Steelers thing, and it's interesting how you talked about, Joshua, that maybe they just need a new voice in the room. That's almost unfathomable to me as a Browns fan, because I have watched those two organizations be so good for the most part. The Steelers really just about my whole life, and the Ravens since they've moved to Baltimore, that almost seems insane. Like, to me, when Mike Tomlin has never had a year where he's finished under 500. They're always in the race for the playoffs. Now, some people, their standard is higher. They won Super Bowls. They haven't been there. But I feel like when they've had the quarterback, they've gotten there.
Right.
So I feel like if they can somehow figure out the quarterback, that they would be just fine. I feel like with Stefanski, here the last two or three weeks, you're hearing more and more smoke about maybe he's gone. Maybe the Browns look at Mike McDaniel. If he goes, the Giants would jump all over him. And I just feel like the smoke is starting to build there with Stefanski that maybe he is gone after this year.
You see what Jeremy Fowler said earlier in the week?
What'd he say?
That if they get rid of Stefanski, the Browns would go for Mike McDaniel.
That's, yeah, that's... I was like, whoa.
It's the same thing.
No, it's just different fonts. But
one wears glasses
inside. It's the same thing.
Oh, and capri pants. Don't forget the capris.
And drives his Bentley around to heckle opposing fans that are in town.
I don't know if I could see Stefanski hitting a vape in the middle of a game. Well, but
so I do want to address a couple things that you said. Because I tend to agree with you in terms of the Ravens and the Steelers and what they are as an organization. That's why I kind of framed it as, if you want a new voice, because we know those are good coaches, and the bottom is not likely to fall out with either one of them, but that's making a decision on where you think things are headed and where you want to be. The idea that the Bengals would be too cheap to fire a coach is one of the things that bothers me the most in professional sports. You are a professional organization. Your existence should be to try to compete for a championship. And if you are penny pinching, it is time to turn your organization to somebody else who's going to operate it the right way. Like that, and I played for one like that. I played for the Chargers before they moved to LA. We didn't even have a cafeteria in our facility. We ate in a tent every day. It's because our ownership was cheap. Our technology in our meeting rooms, we had like overhead projectors. They were cheap. And it's a bad way to be as a professional organization.
Well, Joshua, in regards to the Cincinnati Bengals, there's only a certain amount of money that the organization can have. And Mike Brown put it in an analogy that's about a pie. And so when you have a pie and that's the money that you get, you can only allocate a certain amount to players and
their needs. You can't cut the pie too many ways.
It's only so much pie. When you're giving so much of it to these players.
Right. There's a lot of pie, left. Though. I guess that's the part
there's
of
so
it.
Much,
is,
I
it's,
wish,
it's a big ass pie.
I wish the owners would step in and fire some of these owners.
Yeah.
it would make your product much better, and it would make you more money in the long run.
That's kind of my thing. Like watching them not clear the snow from this, like that, again, I get frustrated when you have an opportunity as a professional organization to do the right thing and you just continue to say, I'm going to penny pinch.
Clown organizations to the north and to the south, but in central Ohio, one organization, the Ohio State football team, it was a rough end to a spectacular season. Patrick Murphy was in Dallas for the Cotton Bowl, and he's also been covering the transfer portal musings. We'll hear from him coming up in 2 minutes. It's Bishop and Friends.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
You know what hope is? Hope is action. Carving a path forward, even when it's hard.
And kids who still know how to dream. They're the best pathfinders of all.
So at Child Fund, hope means helping millions of children living in poverty worldwide to grow up healthy, educated, skilled, and so all those good things can come true for them. Safe.
And that means safe at home, safe at school, and safe online.
Hope means walking this path together, all of us. Because when we work together, we can do so much more.
That's right. Hope includes you.
Child Fund, because we need each other.
To learn how Child Fund works with children in 23 countries to help them achieve their full potential, visit childfund.org. That's childfund.org.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Taking the art of sports radio and day drinking to a whole new level. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
So when you talk about the Browns and the Bengals, that's the shot. Then we talk about Ohio State football, that's usually the chaser. Eric Reeser, Joshua Perry, we're out now to the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. And bring on Patrick Murphy of Bucknuts and 24/7 Sports. And you can hear him on the Fan, the Buckeye Show, Sports Saturday, Sports Sunday. Pat, your ideas at my desk. So when you want to enter the building, I think you'll just have to text somebody to let you in. But I'm the front most desk. So when you want to pick that up, just grab that whenever, bud. How are you?
I'm good. I appreciate that. Yeah,
no problem.
I got a text while I was out in Dallas that was there, and I was like, "Oh, I'm gonna figure out how to get back in the building when I get home."
I
appreciate you guys picking up my slack.
The person that found the ID said, "Well, I'll put it at the short guy's desk." Well, we are vertically challenged, Pat. I take umbrage with that. So in Dallas, the Cotton Bowl, we'll have to revisit it a little bit. For you, what was the biggest thing Ohio State didn't do to open that game, to put them in the hole that they were going into the half?
Protect Julian Sayin, and really the offensive line play in general. And I think, we can talk about a lot of different issues, but I think ultimately they all come back to the play on the offensive line. I think I did the numbers yesterday, and I don't have them in front of me right now, but I think it was like something like 25 pressures, according to PFF, allowed through the first 7 or 8 games, and then the last 5, and then this one makes it 6. There was 71. I might be a little bit off there, but you get the point. It just the play of the offensive line decreased, diminished, whatever word you want to use, over the second half of the season. And I thought after the Indiana game, like, that would be the main focus, and they'd come out, because I do think those guys on the offensive line have the capability to play better. And I know, obviously, you lose Tegra, which I guess some people thought was a positive, but Gabe Van Sickle didn't seem ready from the opening snap. And then obviously losing Austin Saraveld hurts. But I just felt in general that this needed to be a team that played at a higher level on the offensive line than what we saw the last 4 or 5 games of the regular season and the Big Ten championship game, going up against what I think is a good Miami defensive line, a really good Miami defensive line, but probably not the best they would have faced in the playoff had they advanced. And so you can't protect, you can't open holes. And I think that leads to some offensive issues that spring out to more conversation.
Yeah, it felt like pass pro certainly was an issue, and it didn't feel like they turned the page either offensively to try to mitigate that enough. But I want to ask you now, the portal is open. What are the biggest needs roster-wise for Ohio State?
I don't want this to sound like an overreaction to just this loss, because it's not, but I think most positions should be up for grabs. You're at Ohio State. Joshua, I think you know this as well as anybody. Like, nothing should be promised going into next year. I'm not saying you need to go get a quarterback to play over Julian Sayin or anything like that, but I do think you need to look at everything and say, where can we get better in every position? I don't think just because guys had a good year, you say, hey, that's our guy. If there's an opportunity to get better, I think you've got to take it. And I think Ohio State's done that the last couple of years. I think back to when Quinshon Judkins was brought in, and I remember just being very surprised that they were getting a running back when you thought Travion Henderson was probably going to be back. And so I think Ryan Day's been aggressive in that way. I think even more so when you come off a loss like you did. I think specifically you look at that offensive line. You look, hey, can we go find a dominant left tackle, or maybe we can move Austin Saraveld back inside? I know they like Ian Moore, but is he ready to be that guy? I'm not sure yet. Can you find a second running back to pair with Bo Jackson, so you have that tandem like you had with the two last year? I think you could look for an explosive receiver. You didn't really have that Emeka Buka type this season. Not to take anything away from Brandon Ennis, they're just different players. Defensively, you're going to lose a lot. So I think it kind of depends who comes back, who stays. But Lorenzo Styles and now Bryce West both being gone, I think that nickel position becomes a place you want to look at. Can you get more help on the defensive line to help your battles in the trenches? So, we're pretty much listing the most positions here. Oh, kicker, I guess, is a big one, too, now that you got both guys leaving the program.
You talk about the Portal Buckeyes who have announced plans to enter things. Talking with Pat Murphy on the Bryan Heating Cooling Systems fan guest hotline of Bucknuts and 24/7 Sports, and right here at the Fan. Were there any of, I guess now we're nearing a dozen Buckeyes, dozen scholarship Buckeyes that have announced plans to enter, that you were genuinely surprised said, I'm going to seek greener pastures?
I mentioned Bryce West. That was definitely one, because I think there was, or at least, from the outside looking in, and obviously he's had conversations, knows what he's doing there, but it seemed to me like he would be the guy who would step right in for Lorenzo Styles at that nickel spot, and be a guy who could play a lot next year. You know, we saw him some this season when Lorenzo was out. So that was probably the biggest surprise. I know some people were a little surprised with CJ Hicks. We talked to him at the Cotton Bowl Media Day, and I asked directly, you know, do you intend to be back next year? And he said, you know, basically, we'll see. So that obviously raised antennas a little bit. I was a little surprised with Jelani Thurman's timing, if that's fair, given it was literally immediately after. I mean, I was standing there with Dan Hope of 11 Warriors outside the locker room, and Jelani came out, and then the notification popped up on Dan's phone. He was entering the transfer portal. So that was a bit of a shock, just how quickly that happened. But yeah, Bryce West is probably the one, because I thought there was a clear path for him, at least, you know, from our perspective.
All right. We haven't really gotten into this one yet, but Cortez Hankton is taking the wide receiver job at Ohio State. And it brings up this discussion about Ryan Day and play calling and offensive coordinator and everything else. So in terms of roles for Hankton, play calling, and just, you know, your opinion on what that should look like, what are you seeing in this situation?
Yeah, I think if I was Ryan Day, I guess, I would be looking to get another experienced offensive coordinator in, you know, similar to the mold of what Chip Kelly was a year ago, a guy who can come in and you can trust and can bring some new ideas and maybe change some things up. And, you know, I think the Ryan Day running the offense that we saw at times, we haven't seen in a few years, right? And so, you know, just a guy with some fresh ideas, but also some experience. You know, I haven't looked a ton at Cortez Hankton just because of everything else that's gone on. I know he had co-offensive coordinator titles, but my understanding is he will be the wide receivers coach. I don't think he'll have any more of an impact on that side of things than any of the position coaches do. So I would not be surprised if we see another move to get you know, a guy in who can help Ryan on that side. And, you know, this isn't a slight on Ryan Day. I'm not trying to be negative. I just think he is at his best when he has, you know, another guy to help, just like Urban Meyer was with Tom Herman and guys like that. I think it's always helpful in that capacity.
Pat, I do think most of the fan base would agree with that sentiment. What about Matt Patricia? I don't think anybody expects him to necessarily leave after his first season, but what does this look like for him? Is he on a 3 or 4 year plan, or how do you see the future for him shaping out?
Yeah, I say this without any, you know, inside knowledge, but we got to talk to Matt Patricia, those of us who went to the locker room after the game, and the way he talked was very much about next year. And so it sounds, and this was both while the recorders were recording and afterwards when he was chatting with us about, you know, coming back and being better next year. So I would say that I would be surprised at this point, just based on those conversations, that if he's not, you know, the defensive coordinator again next year. And look, I know that, you know, you give up that drive at the end, but I think that's a really good thing for the Buckeyes. You know, I think he can build off of his first year back in college in some time. And I think this defense, you know, despite that last drive, was really good. He's got a lot of work to do if he is back, because they're going to have quite a bit of changes, but he's been through this in the NFL. I also think he can help with kind of getting through this. A lot of these guys have experienced a lot of success, you know, the young guys, especially on the team. And, you know, how do you respond from a loss like this? You know, he's been in big playoff losses before. So I think that experience is also helpful along with what he brings on the defensive side.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the program's in a great spot when he's calling plays for the defense. Wanted to ask you, like, just overarching, looking back on this year, you had a perfect regular season, then you lose in the Big Ten championship, and you have an early out in the college football playoff. How would you put this season into context?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, look, it's a good year, but you came off a national championship a year ago, and you talked really from the jump, you know, early spring practice, maybe even before that, Ryan Day was talking about, you know, wanting to be the first back-to-back national champions in Ohio State history. You didn't accomplish that goal. You didn't accomplish the Big Ten championship, but you do beat Michigan, which I don't think should get lost in this conversation, because obviously that hadn't happened since, you know, what was it, 2019. So I would say it was a good year. I expected going into this season, this team to get to the semifinal, and then from there, you know, it depends kind of how things progress. So I would say it fell short of my expectations. I think it fell short of most people's. But, you know, I think there are, you know, a number of young guys that can learn from this and build. But yeah, I would say, you know, short of expectations, especially when you have that 12-0 regular season and are the number one team in the country for much of the year.
Season's over, but there's still a lot to do on the Buckeye beat. Pat Murphy covers Ohio State football for Bucknuts and 24/7 Sports. Also on the Fan, was kind enough to join us, courtesy of the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Pat, thanks so much for the time today, bud. We look forward to talking to you down the road.
All right. Thanks, guys.
We'll do three things coming up next. It's Bishop and Friends on
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
The Daily Ryan Day Show is brought to you locally by your Central Ohio Toyota dealers and by Hyde Park Prime Steakhouse on the Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
This is the Ryan Day Daily Show, brought to you by Safe Light Auto Glass. The Buckeye season comes to an end with a 24-14 loss to Miami. Jim Lachey, certainly it was a game in which Ohio State got behind early, and that really kind of set the tone.
Yeah, kind of a tale of two halves. First half, it was, you know, sloppy. Couldn't convert on third downs, giving up sacks. And then defensively, you know, they allowed Miami to kind of control the pace. So they were able to run the football effectively, able to pass the football, so they had both things working for them. But in the second half, the third quarter, you think, okay, maybe we're going to get this thing figured out, because they certainly put together two great scoring drives. You know, again, these guys fought hard. They just got to have better technique and execute on plays offensively and defensively. They want to get this win.
Right, another comment coming in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Keels. This Buckeye season, don't let a broken windshield ruin your game plan. SafeLight Auto Glass makes it easy to get your windshield fixed with their mobile glass shops all over Central Ohio. They can come to you anywhere, giving Buckeye fans more time for game time. OH? Man, I love that. Schedule at SafeLight.com. SafeLight Auto Glass is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
SafeLight Repair, SafeLight Replace.
Buckeye fans, choose chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged for a smoother finish. It's got that crisp, refreshing taste that makes those moments when you choose to rise above the noise and choose chill even better. Coors Light is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics, so crack one open and take a sip. Coors Light, choose chill. Celebrate responsibly. 2025 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Beer.
Ohio State falls to Miami 24-14. Jim Lachey, certainly a lot of good things happened this year and a lot of work for this football team to engage in moving forward.
Exactly. You know, we found a quarterback, right? Julian Sain. I think he had a fantastic year, and the rest of the country agreed with some of the awards that he had at the end of the year. It's rare that we get a quarterback to come back to back after having a great year. Will Howard did a fantastic job for us last year, but they end up losing two ball games, and the last two ball games of the year make it tough. Last year they lost two games, but one was to Oregon, one was to Michigan, and then they found a way to put it together throughout the playoffs. This year is a little bit different. You lose your final two games, so it kind of leaves a little bit of a sore spot in everybody's mind. But I think Matt Patricia, you know, coming with his defense, really put them together. But there's going to be some guys on that defensive side that you're going to have to replace. And then on the offensive side, coaching-wise, you're going to have to find a new coordinator, somebody to step up. And, you know, there's probably some other coaches that might have some other opportunities. So Ryan Day will have a chance to evaluate that. And, of course, acquiring players. You know, that's always going to be important when the portal opens up. They did a heck of a job recruiting throughout the course of the year, but now they'll have to, you know, find some key veteran players and see if they can add to the mix for the 2026 year.
Okay, this is the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield.
For over 37 years, Buckeye Nation has known Hyde Park Prime Steakhouse for serving the best steaks in the city. Our thick-cut, aged steaks are a staple in Columbus, with three locations in Upper Arlington, Dublin, and downtown. And just like the Buckeyes, we strive for excellence and an experience like no other. Hyde Park is proud to introduce the newly added wine room at our downtown Columbus location, where a new elegance in dining surrounds you, creating the ideal setting for any occasion or the perfect night out. Hyde Park is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Go Bucks!
Toyota-thon is on, and it's the perfect time to wrap up the year with a new Toyota, like the family-size Highlander and the bigger, more powerful Grand Highlander. Now through January 5th, you can get 4.75 APR financing on any remaining new 25 Highlander or Grand Highlander, including hybrid models.
with approved credit through TFS. Plus, you get Toyota Care 2 years no-cost maintenance. For complete details, go to toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Hey there, Jane Lynch here. You want to hear something funny? Too bad. You want to hear something uplifting that will inspire you? Good. Because today, I want to talk to you about Direct Relief, a humanitarian organization that does seriously good work when it counts. Fires, hurricanes, earthquakes. When disaster strikes, Direct Relief immediately shows up with medicines, medical supplies, and everything doctors and nurses need to save lives. Let's ship her out! Every day across the United States and around the world, they're making an enormous difference. If someone needs help, Direct Relief helps. No politics, no red tape. Hey, what you doing over there?
Oh, I'm packing insulin for kids with diabetes.
See, every box here is literally a lifeline for someone in critical need. So check them out at directrelief.org. You might just bring a smile to someone's face.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Distilled sports discussion served in light beer quantities. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Our daily fan poll asks, when do you start your New Year's resolution? Before I give the options and the results, Joshua Perry, are you a New Year's resolution guy?
I am. I've resolved to do some different things this new year, primarily more focused on my health. And I lost a decent amount of weight last year. Your boy got puffy this past year. And then we're going on a little bit of a financial diet, too. I'm trying to dial a lot of things in.
How's that going so far? You're 2 days in.
Two days in. We haven't spent any money.
Okay.
We're good.
Wow. Yeah. So far, I mean, you're batting 1,000.
Part of the reason why is my wife is sick, so she can't spend money right now.
Oh, we don't like that.
No, we'll be all right.
Baker, off to a good start.
Are you a resolutions guy?
Not really.
I mean, we haven't had this conversation earlier.
I feel like if it's something you want to do, just do it. Doesn't matter when it is.
It's nice to have that clean start.
Yeah, it's not. I'm all for that, though. If that's what they want to do, that clean start, like, okay, I'm looking forward to this, we're going to go, I'm all for it.
Tyvis asked me the other day, and I said, Tyvis, I endeavor to be worse as a human being in 2026.
That's amazing.
2 days in, not so good. But the options for the daily fan poll were the resolutions start New Year's Day, the first Monday of the year. What resolution? What resolution has got the lead right now with 55% of respondents? 34% say the first Monday of the year, which I think is a cop-out. It's a New Year's resolution. I do think you have to start at 1-1. You can't just wait till 1-5 and be like, oh, new year.
That's what people do,
because you put yourself in a hole, though, I think.
No, people do that, especially with like dry January. They'll be like, well, it's New Year's Day and there's games on, so I'm going to have a couple beers and then I'll just start. The next week will be a clean start.
You can't do that. And for me, I'm not a New Year's resolution guy, other than being horrible, which I will continue to do into 26 and into 27 and until they throw me out of the station. But you have to, I think, it's even better, life tips from Eric, start before the new year. Because then you're, you know, kind of hitting the ground running and you don't have to worry about the first or what's going to be the first Monday of January 5th and say like, well, now it's time to start.
That's what Tyvis did. He started a diet right around the holidays.
For the last four years, if it was anything, he's done that.
If he said anything else but a diet, I'd have been like, good for him.
Oh, brother, I already got on him today.
But it's the diet carousel.
Yeah.
He rides it more than
you know. What they say about people who start diets all the time means they never finish a diet. So
their breakfast DoorDash bill for the morning show has got to be ridiculous. I don't know about the diet.
They DoorDash it to the studio?
Oh, all the time. They bring it in.
Overnight oats.
No.
One, two, three things.
If I didn't every day see that Chick-fil-A on 3rd, I'd say they're single-handedly keeping the Grandview Chick-fil-A in business. But Chick-fil-A, whatever they do, is the perfect way to run a business.
Cracking that chicken.
Because both lines are always running.
They're efficient,
Monday through Saturday, they keep them going, and they never stop flowing. First thing for me, we didn't talk a lot about this on the program today because we're still trying to pick through Ohio State and the Cotton Bowl, the transfer portal and everything with Ohio State football. But I'm really thrilled for Zach Werenski for making Team USA. I saw how much of an honor it was for Z to play for Team USA in the Four Nations, how he was one of, if not the best player for the Americans in that tournament. It's such a cool thing that now I'm actually feeling a little bit of excitement for the Winter Olympics in 35 days on NBC.
How about it? How about it? Congratulations to him. Huge honor. And I'll certainly be tuned into the Winter Olympics. All right. My first thing, kind of mentioned it, my whole family's sick right now, and I'm trying to figure out who patient zero is in the whole operation, because it's been bad. My wife has been down for a couple days, hasn't gotten out of bed. Kids are coughing in my face, sneezing all over stuff. My parents got a little bit sick. I'm fighting right now, sleeping on the couch, trying to avoid it. It is hectic in my household right now.
I feel like it's usually the kids. You can always just blame them and say they're patient zero.
But somebody got them sick.
The kids at the school, the other kids, somehow.
My gosh.
Since you started with Zach Werenski, I will go there too. Congratulations to Zach, although it wasn't a surprise that he was named to Team USA this morning. The Blue Jackets with a big weekend here this weekend. They take on the Buffalo Sabres and the Pittsburgh Penguins, both 3 o'clock games Saturday and Sunday over at Nationwide. Reese, you know, we went to that Capitals game last year, and those weekend afternoon games are always fun at Nationwide. A big stretch here for the Jackets is they play some teams that are just ahead of them in the standings here, and then they go on a West Coast road trip where they take on Colorado in that road trip, but all those other teams they play in it, teams not that high in the point, right around the same as points as you, so the Jackets getting healthy maybe could make a little run here.
I do want to say this for my second thing now, and we'll keep it a little bit Blue Jackets related. The resolution for the CBJ is I think to be within a single digit points of a wild card spot when you get to that Olympic break. I think for the Blue Jackets, as a fan, I find myself emotionally moving the goalposts, and I don't think that's the right thing to do, because I said at the beginning of the season, damn injury, damn inexperience, now is the time you have to make the postseason. I still think there's time for them to do that. I also think if you're going to play for the Blue Jackets on Saturday or Sunday, games have to start between 1 o'clock and 3 o'clock. Matinee hockey, Joshua, one of my favorite things.
I'm going to have to check it out. All right, my second thing, and we had talked about this during the break, dogs and kids don't belong everywhere. Don't just stop bringing your dog to the mall. Stop bringing your dog out just wherever, at the restaurant, at the bar. It's crazy. And the same thing goes for children. I've got two young ones, right? They're both under two right now. I won't subject people to having to deal with my kids if they're going to be fussy or whatever is going on. Just keep them at home. It's perfectly fine. They won't miss anything.
I will back that statement as well. My CFP rooting changed yesterday watching the games. I've kind of been a fan of Dan Lanning and just his brashness and outspokenness. And I feel like even though Oregon's been a team that's there, he's changed them a little bit. I'm rooting for Indiana and Ole Miss now. The Trinidad Chambliss story is insane. And the fact that he won at Ferris State last year, and just watching him play last night, that was so fun. Plus, I hate the U. There's no way I can root for the U. And there's something about Cignetti. I don't know what it is. He is just, he's like Conor McGregor before Conor McGregor started losing. And there's something appealing about that.
So I'm rooting for Indiana, number one. And then Miami is my number two team. And I don't want to root for them, but it's a cope. I'm coping. I want either one
That's
of those.
Understandable.
Because the only two teams you lost.
All right. No time for three things from the rest of us. But Joshua, it was good for me. Hopefully it was good for
you
as well. This was so much fun. Everybody have a wonderful weekend. We'll talk with you on Monday at 9 a.m. Bishop and Friends on The Fan.
If the sound of another man slammed against plexiglass turns you on, you've come to the right place. Proud to be your home for Jackets hockey. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Hey. Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call